Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Before we get to the contest, we have a surprise guest judge.
Yeah, who knew?
Hal Sparks is back. Hey! Where? How did this happen?
I was walking through the parking lot. No kidding. And I was accosted.
Did you grab him?
Yeah.
Because Rabbi had his like Shabbos stuff that I had to like. It's a gear in his Torah and all that.
He's refrigerated. He's a superhero. Or something. Yeah.
And I had to bring it down the shore, and I did not want to forget it, so I brought it to my car, and I saw Hal, and I was like, dude!
Yeah.
And I was like,
dude!
I did say, listen, you don't have to say yes. Don't feel obligated because I'm asking you face-to-face, but he's all about it.
Absolutely. Well, I'm a metal fan. I'm a Madden fan.
We figured you'd be a damn good expert for this.
Uniquely qualified, perhaps.
Yeah. We have other guest judges here this morning. Our good friend from 6ABC, Action News Honcho, Mr. Matt O'Donnell. Oh, wait, is this his song? Hold on. This is what Matt listens to.
I was like, if this is you singing, that's awesome.
No, this is a band called Between the Bear.
Between the Bear to Me.
And they're playing on Progressive.
So well.
They're playing on Progressive Nation Tour.
You're familiar with them.
Yeah. I just saw them.
Yeah, Matt, when they were in town, did you go see them recently?
No, it never worked out. Yeah. I was actually going to meet the band and everything.
Oh, man.
That wild? That'd be like Walter Cronkite at a Sex Pistols show.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, didn't Dan Rather sing with R.E.M. one time?
Because of the song that he got his butt kicked to.
What's the frequency?
From the guys who clearly are with the Men in Black or some weird underground government organization or talk to aliens. They come up to him and asked him they kept beating him up, asking him, what's the frequency, Kenneth? What's the frequency, Kenneth?
There are no witnesses to that incident, too, except for Dan Rather.
You know what, though? They did catch the dude who apparently perpetrated that. Okay. He attempted to or did, in fact, kill somebody who was working at NBC.
Wow.
Yeah, and the dude cooperated his encounter with Dan Rather.
But they never figured out why he was calling him Kenneth. I mean, that never...
Because that's his lizard name. Because the lizards live among us and assume human form. I mean, God. Read a David Icke book occasionally, you know?
When he peels away the skin, there is the lizard skin underneath.
Exactly. Yeah. 19 hours on the internet and all your questions are answered.
R.E.M. paid him.
Yeah. All right. And then we have our third judge from our promotions team here at MMR. Please welcome Rockstar Rob. Rob, how are you, man?
I'm doing good. Nice to be here.
Rob is in a band called Death Star Overdrive, which have you guys been playing lately?
Here and there. We're going to do a show for my birthday.
Oh, really?
Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, how did you end up getting that booking?
Because
it's your birthday.
It's my birthday.
That's right.
We need a band for my birthday. Oh, my band.
When I first heard that Rob was in a band, that he was a lead singer in the band, I wanted his CD just to make fun of him.
Right.
And then we played the CD, and I was like, oh, this is good.
I remember clearly you saying, Casey, you're like, I really wanted it to suck.
And it was good.
And it was good. Yeah. So Rob and his band are very solid. Yeah. So we have three qualified individuals that are here to judge. So here's what we're going to do. We have four Iron Maiden fans that are here in the studio. And instead of having them, now the song that they're going to sing on stage is, I forgot what song it was, to tell you the truth. Casey,
Run of the Hills?
Heaven Can Wait.
Okay.
But what we've decided to do is let each one of these guys just sing a portion of their favorite Maiden song. I think that'll kind of level the playing field a little bit, and they'll be able to sing what they want to. And what we'll do is we'll have them step up, just sing, 10 seconds or so of it. Nick, bring me over a contestant.
All right.
And let's get this thing started.
Big Dan is contestant number one.
We have Big Dan. Welcome to the studio.
Wearing his Motorhead shirt.
Yeah. Dude, he was here at 5:30 this morning.
Wow.
I just came from work.
You came from work?
With my ball smell. I'm sorry.
You know that happens.
Yeah. Kathy,
we were talking about
check
that earlier.
Yeah. Can you check if his ball smell real quick?
No.
So I took a Greek shower before coming in. So I know. Sorry about
that's right. You had anal sex.
Dan, where where do you work, by the way, Dan?
I work at a supermarket. I paid my way through college, and I'm graduating now. August.
All right. Well, good luck. Hey, have you ever done any singing in a band or anything like that?
Actually, I have. I do play bass as well. I asked Marissa if they can spot Steve Harris a song. I would be more than willing to step in for him.
Oh, yeah. All right.
But I doubt that'll happen because I don't have the gallop.
Well, here's your shot to sing with the band.
Yep, exactly. Yeah. All right, so, Dan, you've got your headphones on. Are you going to be singing to a song that's playing in your headphones?
Yeah,
or?
Hopefully.
We're not going to be able to hear it.
No, but you said acoustically.
Yeah.
So hopefully I'll start out with Iron Maiden. Maybe I'll end up with Motorhead or something. we'll see what happens.
Whatever you want to sing. Do you know what song you're going to sing?
I'll sing Hallowed Be Thy Name.
Okay.
From the 1982 record Number of the Beast, album with Bruce Dickinson.
Yep. Yeah. Dan wasn't kidding. He stinks real bad.
Nick was standing right next to him.
No, seriously, I'm not kidding. I literally came from work, slept in my car out in the parking lot, and here I am,
you know,
stinky and sweaty.
I hope that was your car.
Would be proud.
Yeah. I hope that was your car, because whoever it is going to have to get it.
You
know?
Yeah. Fumigated, yeah.
Stay away from the expensive one that's out there. That's mine.
All right, yours. Dan, are you ready?
Yeah, what the hell?
Okay, go ahead. Fire it up. Let's hear a little Maiden when you're ready.
All right.
When the priest comes to read me the last rites, I take a look at the balls at the last sight of the world that has gone very wrong for me. Can it be that it's some sort of error? How to stop the surmounted terror? There's the end, not the end, not some crazy dream.
Thank you.
Yeah!
Nicely done.
Not bad.
Nice job.
Dan put a little emotion into it.
I like that.
Fist in the air, ready to go. Hal, your opinion on Dan?
I think he sounds more like Dee Snider, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tonally.
For my friends, I do actually Brian Johnson pretty well from
from AC/DC.
Yes. Yeah. And by the way, don't you, in your DVD, don't you thank Dee Snider for bringing the rock?
I do, absolutely, to duets, because I got to sing with him. I called him like at a pinch. That's another story. Well, this is all about it's all about Dan's moment right now. I like that he brought his own headphones and his own iPod to sing along with, so there's accompaniment.
All right.
If I were you, I would have gone the extra step and brought the karaoke track and tried to arrange something, but I get it. You were sleeping
works.
In your car.
All right. Matt O'Donnell, you?
All right. Dan, you know Bruce Dickinson uses his diaphragm. I mean, he fills an arena, and I didn't hear any diaphragm from you. Tonation was okay, but, I mean, Bruce Dickinson is just such an excellent singer, and it's just is hard to mimic him.
Yep.
I give you an A for effort, though. I mean,
he sold it. Hey, that's something, man.
And Rockstar Rob, what do you think of Dan?
Well, first off, I mean, the fact that you came here at 5 in the morning, you know.
Sorry, I smell. I get it.
You sang your ass off. It was definitely ballsy.
All right.
It was definitely ballsy.
Okay.
The smell, he means.
very fun
he
Monday.
He showed us his stomach, too.
He was out there putting it out there.
Okay. Okay. That's all. We're
Ron
not
says
asking
he was
for
putting it out there. All right, let's get our next contestant. Nick, will you?
All right, contestant number two is Bob. Bob's
right,
Bob.
Up
over here.
Nice and close, Bob. Hey, Bob, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Where are you from, Bob?
I'm from Croydon, Pennsylvania.
Do you do any singing at all, Bob?
Yeah, I sing for a band called Angry Vic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Are you guys
area,
in the metal genre?
Yeah, it's all 80s rock and metal.
Oh, well, this is right up your alley.
Ozzy, Maiden, Journey, all that stuff.
Are you the singer, Bob?
Yeah.
All right.
Here we go.
Well, this is perfect. See, I wasn't sure what we were going to get because we were having just randomly callers be a part of this contest. And I did say, you know, please be able to sing if you can call, you know, if you call in. Usually people don't listen to that, but it looks like.
And Bob also, stunt doubles Cameron Manheim.
Yeah. So,
I was going to say Dave King from Fastway, which is a good thing.
I was going to say, I at least like that.
Dave King's awesome.
I was thinking the guy from Sabotage.
Bob, what song are you going to sing?
I guess Trooper.
Okay. Trooper. Oh, good selection.
I was playing a little bit of the Trooper earlier.
I don't have any music, but it's
a
you know,
nah, just give us, just a cappella, whenever you're ready.
All right.
You take my love, but I'll take yours, too. You fire a musket, but I'll run you through. So when you're waiting for the next attack, you better stand, there's no turning back. The bugle sounds, the charge begins. But on this battlefield, no one wins. So when you're waiting for the...
Oh, I messed it up already.
No.
That's okay, you went on.
That was fine.
Yeah. That's good.
I had my words back there.
No.
I'm so nervous, dude. I think I'm going to throw up.
I think you projected well.
That was good, Bob. Did you want to finish that last line or no?
I am so
E-I-E-I-O.
There you go. All right, Hal, you want to weigh in on Bob?
Obviously a professional. Obviously a tonal quality is good. You switch keys midway, which I think is fine because you're singing a cappella. So you went from you're down-tuned half a step when you normally play with your band. Yeah. And then you went into the actual Bruce Dickinson key, which was half a step up. It's interesting. I get it. I totally am with you. obviously, when you hear the note, I'm sure you can hit it. So I'm not worried about that at all. I think it was a quality effort.
Yep. Right, cool. Matt O'Donnell?
You definitely had the melodicism there. I mean, you really... You had a good run there, and Peace of Mind. I think that's one of my favorite Iron Maiden albums. So good selection too.
All right, and then Rockstar Rob,
you were a little nervous being in here singing.
I'm extremely nervous right now.
Yeah. Well, he's performing for you
seven times, once on myself. Well, I think.
I think if you get this, you'll be 1,000 times even more nervous to be singing with Bruce.
Oh, can you imagine?
That's yeah. Right. So
I'll puke before I go on stage. Wouldn't be the first time.
Start drinking heavily if you can.
Okay.
All right, that's the problem. I need booze.
Let's hear it for Bob.
Yeah. Good job, Bob. Good job.
Grab some beer. We'll set you
guys
up.
We got a Bud Light Lime coming for you.
All right, cool. And let's get our third contestant. We got two more to go.
Jay, stepping up to the microphone.
All right, Jay, come on over here. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good. Jay looks more like average Joe as opposed to the other guys that have, the long hair, the rocker kind of look about him, the Motorhead shirt and all that stuff.
I know you were going to say that.
You were, yeah. You look like you showed up for the Jimmy Buffett contest.
Is this the bus to
Margaritaville?
Who's that, man?
Hey, Jay, have you been an Iron Maiden fan all your life?
Yeah, when I was a kid. I grew up with it, loved it, and now I'm grown up and I'm old.
I'm still
a fan, though.
Do you do any singing, or is it just
Okay. I'm a songwriter.
All right.
I'm a singer-songwriter.
Everybody's got experience. Hey, I like that.
He's actually the first singer from Iron Maiden.
Yeah.
All right, Jay, what are you going to sing?
I'm going to sing the chorus to Heaven Can Wait.
Okay. Right. Heaven Can Wait, all right.
Well, that's the song that you'll get to sing on stage if you're
a cappella.
If you win it. All right. Give it to us, Jay.
Okay.
Here we go.
Heaven can wait. Heaven can wait. Heaven can wait. Heaven can wait till another day. Heaven can wait. Heaven can wait. Heaven can wait. Heaven can wait till another day.
There you go.
Yay!
Jay with his version of the song, Hal Sparks.
It's it's definitely the morning, so it's hard to hit those. I appreciate you going for the song you're actually going to go do on the day. But it raises also the stakes. So, you know, and that's actually, I would have rather heard a verse so I could hear some variation in that, because Heaven Can Wait, the chorus is
the
repetition of that line. Right. Yeah. So, understood though, but A for effort. Absolutely. All right.
Matt O'Donnell?
That song is a bit too easy listening for me when it comes to Maiden.
That
was one of their pop songs.
Yeah. You consider that from the Yanni selection.
Yes. Yeah. You miss a few notes in there, but I think, again, anyone that's coming in here and singing in front of, all your listeners, you
absolutely
really get a lot of credit. And I like the fact that you look normal like me. And
right.
You
listen to that kind of stuff. Yes, he's a dead ringer for you, Matt.
And he looks like Glenn Frey, even, from the Eagles.
Yeah. Do some Eagles. I think you can pull off some Eagles. I know that.
Just because I look like
him. Yeah, right. You have to be able to.
Rockstar Rob, what do you mean?
I thought we had a vinyl record on because all I heard was Cracks and Pops.
Oh.
He's right, man. It's early.
Rockstar Rob is our Simon.
Right.
Thank you, Jay. Let's get our final contestant, Nick, for the Sing with Iron Maiden on stage.
The guy with the Iron Maiden shirt on, Frank.
He's that guy.
All right,
Frank. How you doing, man?
How you doing, man?
Doing great. Where are you from?
Mattyunk.
And do you sing at all?
No, I play drums.
You play drums?
Hey, there you go.
Matt and I, we're all brethren. So
all drummers want to be singers.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. So what Maiden song you want to pop out for?
I'm
going to
do Revelations from Peace of Mind.
Hey. Okay. All right. When you are ready, give it to us, Frank.
Setting up his iPod.
He's got his iPod, too.
Good move.
Didn't even think of that.
Going with earbuds.
Interesting.
Just a babe in a black abyss. No reason for a place like this. The walls are cold and the souls cry out in pain. An easy way for the blind to go. A clever path for the fools who know the secret of the hangman. The smile on his lips. The light of the blind. You'll see the venom tears my span. The eyes of the Nile are opening. You'll see.
Still not.
bobbing.
She came to me with the serpent's kisses. The eye of the sun rose on her lips. Moonlight catches silver tears. I cry.
All right.
All right, I'm going to stop it right there.
He's still going. He doesn't know.
He can't tell.
Still singing.
Someone hit him.
Somebody wave him.
There we go.
He was lost in the world of maidens.
Nick punched him, so it's done.
Yeah, right. And Frank's friend Meatface covered his face the entire performance.
All right, Hal Sparks, what do you think of Frank?
Not being privy to the tone of the song you were singing, it was hard to tell if you were in key, but I'm assuming so because you kept hitting the same notes over and over again, which is a good thing. That's actually a plus, you know what I mean, when it varies. Again, everybody tends to check it out on the high notes and kind of pull back. And when you're listening to other music in the background, it's easy to go into car mode where you're singing in the car and you're like, yeah! might want to try a cappella next time if there was a phase two of this. But otherwise, very strong.
All right. Matt O'Donnell.
Nice vibrato.
You had the melody going. You missed some, but I guess everyone kind of did this morning. You had that that scratchiness that I kind of liked with Paul Di'Anno in the first two albums where he just kind of had that punk feel to it, It wasn't that, full-on metal stuff. You did get worn out in the end, but again,
we let him go on for 13 minutes.
So. Give him the hook.
Right.
That kind of stuff is just so hard to sing. So I like you. And you're a drummer, too.
Yeah.
So
there you go.
We're bros, man.
And then Rockstar Rob, what do you think?
Well, I had visions of, like, the cartoons where the giant hook comes out.
Wrong.
Coming from a guy in a velvet jacket.
Hey, it takes a lot of effort to wear this at this time in the morning.
Apparently it takes the same amount of effort to wash it.
All right.
You do realize people can write things on it by rubbing their finger backwards. Right? You should know that.
I got an email from Sonny a moment ago that said, what the hell is Matt O'Donnell doing there? What does he know about metal? Matt knows more about metal than most people I've
met. He's out of his mind. He's a big Tool fan, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah?
They're my favorite band. Iron Maiden was my second favorite band.
Oh, I didn't
Van
know
Halen
that.
Was, it was Van Halen, then I got into Iron Maiden. I was total Iron Maiden.
And he also loves all the
thrash metal.
Have you listened to Pussifer or Sturgeon at all?
I don't really like the Pussifer stuff. It's just, I know it's really left field stuff.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's kind of like the Mike Patton type stuff that he does.
And love Mike Patton too, but I just.
See, he knows his stuff. Right?
Yeah, exactly.
And he wears a tie to work. And he wears makeup.
Yeah. And makeup.
Pretty awesome. Yeah.
But when he goes out, instead of taking a lunch break, Matt will go out into the parking lot and kill a goat.
Well, that's what I drink.
Not kill. What's the word? Not kill.
Sacrifice.
No.
our first two judges really know a lot about music, too. Every time that they judge one of the contestants, they're talking about tone and terms that I don't know anything about. And then you get to Rockstar Rob, and he's just mean.
Somebody's got to be awesome. Mean.
Yeah.
He's our son.
Absolutely, except
I guess Matt
better
is Paula.
Hair.
And,
I'm Paula, except I'm not drunk right now.
Exactly. Yeah, or on pills, or both, actually. Or
hello?
Legs up, feet in the air.
This is a little bit of Hal's band, 01, and this song is Mad Season. I'll play just a little bit of it for you. So, and you're playing guitar and singing on this, Hal, right?
Yeah, we're a three-piece.
Here we go. I can tell Zach Wilde isn't it. We were talking about him off air. You do that squeal. That
the pings, which, Jake E. Lee, Randy Rhoads himself. I mean, all the early Dio stuff.
Yeah.
And the Dio stuff, they're always buried underneath the keyboards. But if you listen to, like Rainbow in the Dark or anything, that big, that squall is in there, but they just cover it with a big kind of keyboard noise from, like, the guy from Europe. Was like,
do you mind if I set up my keyboard in here for like just so I can practice? I can't practice in the studio because his teeth are so shiny. My lead singer's teeth are so shiny, it blinds me. Joey Tempest.
And yet if you go see Dio, you don't even see the keyboardist. He's offstage.
Just like Ozzy. Ozzy has a keyboard player, but he's in the parking lot, playing samples and stuff.
You know who else I hear in this, Hal? In all seriousness, a little prong.
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And Tommy Victor, is that the guitarist?
Yeah.
Here's Hal singing.
You're good, dude.
What is the name of the disc that this is on?
Just 01. I believe in self-titling your first record only.
Yeah.
Nothing makes me crazier than a band whose fourth album is, you know, is entitled, you know, like whatever their band is.
You know, we're Red Satyr, so we're, you know, that's our fourth. Like, dude, I know who you are by now. Get creative. You're annoying me. I just
the label's
gave
idea.
Hal the new Weezer album. And
what's
called?
It called?
Weezer.
That's so annoying. But the Red album. Doesn't mean the content's bad. No. It's just a dumb marketing scheme to
let's reinvent the band, let's hit restart.
That's like every Peter Gabriel album was called Peter Gabriel.
Yeah. Right. The first Winger record, which everybody thinks is called Winger, was originally called Sahara. if you look in the bottom corner of that weird design that's on the front, it says Sahara, but everybody just glossed over that and blew it off.
But Chuck D'Amico, our assistant program director, he really liked your album and was listening to it all morning and afternoon
long.
And pulled me in to listen to a couple of tracks. So
thanks. Yeah, that's a good sign, especially for an actor band, as it were. You know, usually people do that to giggle.
Yeah.
The nice thing is, you know, we're a three-piece. I play guitar and sing. There's no BS. It's me or it's not. You know, like when you watch the band, it's not like when you go see, you know, Jim Belushi's blues band where there's like 70 guys on stage and you're just like, at what point are you involved in this band at all? I figure if it's just me, you can judge me at least on
that. Right, right.
Are you on iTunes?
Yeah, we're on iTunes. Yeah. 01, the word 0 and the number 1. Yeah.
All right. All right, now we're going to play a little bit of Rockstar Rob's band.
Nice.
Death Star Overdrive. The Finger My Trigger, by the way.
Nice.
And that's you, Rob, singing?
That's me singing. So now karma can come back and people can be mean.
We said you sound vaguely like him. You don't look like him. You know, like we're not like sending someone to the hospital to get a sandwich for you.
Now Matt O'Donnell plays drums, and this is a clip of him. Apparently, Casey sent me.
Because you missed the Impressionist at the art gallery this weekend.
Renoir! Hal picked up it was Animal, right?
Yeah, that's my favorite Animal quote ever, if you notice that.
He missed the Impressionist exhibit at the art gallery this weekend, and you hear Animal in the background go, Renoir!
Which is such a brilliant hidden joke. So good.
I love that. All right, well, we need to know, gentlemen, of our four contestants, who are you going to choose? We had Jay, we had Dan, we had Bob and Frank, who are contestants.
Right.
They've all won tickets to the concert, by the way.
Yeah, oh, yeah. So they're all winners. Okay.
They're no
now
losers.
I'm the Paula.
So can I have a drum roll, please, as we figure out who our winner? Who's going to make this announcement? Hal, are you going to do it?
Yeah, why don't you do it, Hal? I'll just tell you, it was unanimous. I mean, we didn't even disagree. And I think we all knew
We had one little bit of variance on one of the other contestants because there was definitely, you know, honorable mention. But we went with Frank. For his total commitment and his refusal to stop, which is largely the most metal thing about any performance this morning.
I was doing my own show.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I mean, he looked like a rock star.
Rock star ball smell. I mean, that's more a punk show and totally worth it. Bob, God bless you and your Dave King look. I'm a big fan of Flogging Molly and Fastway, but a little too nervous for that. Jay, you know, Heaven Can Wait, and we decided we could wait as well. But awesome. But Frank just went for it, you know.
We hope that he will actually take over the show.
Yeah.
Bruce will have to whack him with his
totally
microphone
like,
to tell him to be quiet.
Yeah.
Bring the hook out.
Exactly.
Well, but he's a drummer, so he's probably going to try and get behind Nico's kid.
Yeah. Nico McBrain.
Absolutely.
Now, Frank, you are going to be on stage singing with Iron Maiden, man. How about that?
Dream come true.
A dream come true?
Great. Yep.
Yeah, learn some mic control. Step closer to the mic now. This is a good time to practice.
All of a sudden, he's mellow now. Before, he couldn't shut him up.
Well, the humility is set in.
And we'll take care of all the particulars and set it up for him. Give him some love, gang.
Yeah.
Singing on stage with Iron Maiden. Want to thank our judges, of course, Rockstar Rob and his band, Overstar Death Drive. Death Star Overdrive.
Over Under Baby Time.
Where are you guys going to be playing next, Rob?
We're working on new material.
No, you don't know at this point?
No, we're working on new material. And like I said, then the middle of August, we're going to put a master show together.
You mean because golfers?
Yeah.
No. Because I want it to basically tomorrow, that next morning, we'll still be playing.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much.
Have you thought about adding Frank to the band then?
He's good, man.
He'll never get any time going. On stage.
Yeah. Hey, let's just keep singing. And, of course, thank you to 6ABC's Matt O'Donnell.
Thanks for having me. Great to hear Maiden tunes.
Way to infiltrate the system from the inside.
They don't know I'm gone, by the way. They're like, he must have went out for lunch or something.
Are you a big Opeth fan? Do you like
Opeth? Yeah, I love Opeth.
Dude,
they're the funniest band ever.
You guys better go out to lunch or something, man.
I just saw the Progressive Nation tour, and, you know, it's Dream Theater anchors that show, but it's between The Buried and Me, Opeth.
Opeth is a band that they never got any press, and you know that the place is full of people wearing Opeth shirts. From the first album, they're all virtuosos. Well, it's good to see them getting attention.
Are you talking about like a Green Jello type of funny?
They're a Swedish band, and they come up there and they go in between songs after going.
That's what they sound, and that's what he sings like. And yet, in the middle of it, he's very soft spoken. Here we go. This
next song, we were at last night. We were at Rainbow Bar and Grill, and we met Matt Sorum, and we met the lead singer of Britney Fox, and we met and we learned from them that if you are butt ugly, but you need a slow song so you can get chicks, so this is our slow song. And then they go, gunk, roar, buzz in the bar of a bra.
It's really catchy.
It's really good, actually. I'm kidding around, but it's Opeth is awesome.
They're the real deal. They really are.
Yeah.
Opeth.
O-P-E-T-H.
Yeah.
It's like a reference, even though we are Swedish, it's a reference to the some sort of, I don't know,
boiled
barrowed thing. Some sort of hieroglyphic or something. Right. Something that's very death metal.
Now it all comes together.
Yeah, totally.
Look at Hal's face when he does
that. I go into character. It's true. You have to kind of numb your upper brow and try kind of half be asleep in between these big metal songs and just roll hard. You know, it's kind of take a nap.
All right, well, thank you. And Hal Sparks, and we still have a link to his personal websites up on PresidentSteve.com. Dude, thanks for coming in.
Oh, it's so good. It's great. It worked out terrific.
That's awesome. All right, let's hear it for Hal Sparks.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a minute. Stay there.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You guys are really excited about this interview.
Yeah.
We've been talking about this for a while.
He is one of these very smart men who talks about a subject that we are fascinated with, space and space exploration and things of that nature, but he does it in a way that's very approachable.
I'll bet you didn't know this, though, that People magazine in 2000 voted him the sexiest astrophysicist.
They did.
Let's welcome him. He is the host of, we need appropriate music. Hold on. Here we go. Do we have that?
There you go.
He is the host of Nova Science Now, and we welcome him. It is Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah!
So to the show. Good morning, Neil.
Thanks for the music and fashion and everything.
We're not screwing around here.
We want to make you feel warm and comfortable.
And about that People magazine thing, just consider the category, first of all.
How many are there?
Yeah, I guess
I
you're right.
I'm big-headed about it.
I guess it was you and Stephen Hawking. So. So you won that one by default.
Doctor, yeah. I got to say, you're a tough guy to get a hold of. Myself and our associate producer, Nick, have been trying to get you on for
months. If not years.
If not, at least for
a corner of the universe, but just apparently not the right one.
Yeah, I mean, no, we've contacted your university and all sorts of stuff, and it wasn't until you were pushing something that we were actually able to get you on.
Listen, Dr. Neil, I have to tell you that when I watch programs like yours, I feel like that scene in Animal House where they're smoking pot and they're saying, you know, that on your fingernail that you there could be a whole little universe. And, you know, some of this stuff is so enormous. It blows my mind. Do you have to, as a scientist, how do you look beyond that enormity? I mean, it's got to be difficult to sometimes focus in.
There's nothing beyond the enormity. The enormity defines the scale of how everything else gets measured. So that's how that plays out.
It's funny because some people, like my younger brother, used to freak out when I would say, you know, Tom, the universe goes on forever. And I find that to be awe-inspiring. Other people find it horrifying.
Yeah, our brains are not really wired for things like infinity and forever and eternity. And we're not really wired for that.
Speaking of that, we had been to an exhibit, actually it was a Star Wars exhibit at the Franklin, and they were showing photographs of what they said was light. Sort of this bluish light, I guess that the Hubble had taken photographs of remaining energy from the Big Bang. Is that in fact what we were seeing? Or I didn't know if it was an artist representation or if that was indeed a Hubble photograph.
Well, there are images we have of the remnant of the Big Bang, but that would not have been taken by Hubble because that's in a band of light that Hubble doesn't see. Hubble sees regular light like what we see, visible light. But the remnants of the Big Bang come to us in microwaves.
Okay.
So nothing to do with your oven. But microwaves in your oven, but...
Yeah.
There are things in the universe that only talk to us via microwaves, such as the beginning of the universe.
Does that, with all that you've seen and all that you've embraced intellectually, does stuff like that still blow your mind?
Yes, completely.
Yeah.
Yes. Even other things that just put large numbers in perspective, like, for example, in your lower colon, 1 centimeter of your lower colon contains more bacteria living and working there.
You know me.
Who have ever lived in the history of the world.
Wow. That's amazing.
So as an astrophysicist, you get to think about large numbers and how they relate back to you and put you in context when your situational awareness within nature and the cosmos itself.
The news that just came out about ice being water being found on Mars. How does that impact the scientific community?
Well, that's great. In fact, one of the segments of Nova Science Now, I went to the headquarters of Phoenix, right when it was making its first dig. It's got a little digger. It looks like a kind of a backhoe, which is only the size of your fist, though.
Right.
And there'd be no water on the Martian surface today. We think there was once water long ago, but where's the water now? This went below the surface. Well, how do you confirm that? You got to dig.
Right.
So this lander, the Phoenix lander, which landed right where the polar ice caps are receding as the Martian summer begins. As most people don't know, Mars rotates once every 24 hours. It has a tipped axis. And so it goes through seasons. It has polar ice caps.
It's similar to Earth, then, in the way it revolves.
Yeah, except
correct?
That it's 200 degrees below zero.
Right, yeah. So, except for that part.
Hey, your brain is pretty full.
Did you know that?
Yeah, I mean, seriously, it's like you eat at a scientific smorgasbord every single day, and you just don't, like, how do you make room to learn new things?
Oh, well, that's an excellent question. And what the great thing about science, especially the physical sciences, is that, take particle physics, for example. You know, there's like, who's keeping count to how many particles there are that we've discovered? What matters is not how many particles there are, but how many laws of physics describe them, which is only very few. See, so you learn the fundamentals of the operations of the universe, and everything else is simply an ornament on that tree.
It's amazing. I'm getting chills just hearing you recite that dramatically. I know one of the things coming up on the show is going to be the topic of black matter.
Or dark matter.
Well, dark matter, yeah. Yeah. Well, describe what that is for people who don't know what it is, and what do you
well,
expose
the people who don't know what it is includes every single professional who's trying to find out what it is.
Yeah. What in theory is it?
Okay. No, we have no freaking idea.
Scientifically speaking.
Now, don't use those scientific terms on us.
It's 85% of all the gravity in the universe is traceable to a source that is unknown to us. Okay? We're made of electrons, protons, neutrons, so are black holes and gas clouds and stars and galaxies. That's 1/6 of the gravity of the universe. The other 5/6 comes from someplace we don't know, and so we call it dark matter. We don't even know it's matter. It's really dark gravity. And so there are particle physicists who think it may be a newly undiscovered particle.
So the major bulk of what comprises our universe is something we have no idea what it is.
And by the way, the major bulk is not even the dark matter. It's something else called dark energy, which we measure to be there, but we're also equally as clueless about that. So if you add up, if you tally how much of the universe we actually understand, it's 4%.
Jesus. Wow.
So we're just kind of dumb stupid about it. Wow. But that's, people say, well, do you have a problem with that? I say, no, I love it.
So we know, of all that is knowable, we know about 4%.
Of all the forces and pressures that are influencing the universe, we only know 4% of all of those forces.
Wow. That's correct.
When you watch movies like Contact or read Carl Sagan or watch Star Wars, do you watch those movies with the perspective that some of these things might be achievable by man at some point?
Not when I saw, for example, Armageddon. No.
Right, okay.
With Bruce Willis, saving the world. Yeah. You have to be selective, and some movies are great about that. Contact really got a lot of the science right, nearly all of it science right. Deep Impact, one of the other asteroid impact movies, they got their science right. So what I'm intrigued about is not so much what they do with the science, but the intersection of the science with culture. In Deep Impact, an asteroid's coming to Earth. What does a government do?
Right.
Do you stockpile food? Do you stick everybody underground?
Right.
And so these for me, are the more interesting explorations.
Contact, the religious application to that was real interesting.
Wasn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Right, and all the cults that rose up around the alien intelligence. I mean, it's remarkable. And that's where, for me, that's the fun part.
There's so many questions.
I know. Make us smarter.
Yeah, hey, yeah. We were talking about black holes a couple of years ago.
Avoid them, first of all.
But I think I was trying to say that, like, a black hole is the sort of like the yin to the sun's yang. Does that make any sense to you?
So, no, like, it would be the yin to the yang of what we call a white hole.
Oh.
Now, what is it? What is a white hole?
Well, it was theorized in the 1970s as the mathematical opposite of a black hole, which is legit. Equations can have more than one solution.
So, while a black hole
absorbs everything
and compacts things, a white hole would expand?
Well, would only spew things out. And so that led to the idea maybe they're connected by a wormhole, and that they're two sides of the same coin, the yin and the yang.
So is this potential for wormholes, and as science fiction has now used it quite liberally, is there theoretically a potential for huge space travel through wormholes?
Yeah, well, theoretically, but the current way we understand how to make a wormhole requires as much energy as what you'd find in all the stars radiating in an entire galaxy.
Okay, so that ain't going to happen.
And we're still pulling fossil fuels out of the Earth.
Yeah. So you're seeing a couple of months yet for that one. Yeah.
So I just say, you know, hold off on your hopes for that one for a while. What we really need is like a warp drive, like what they have in Star Trek. That allows them to cross the galaxy during a TV commercial. 100,000 years.
For years they said that the travel at the speed of light is something that would never be achieved, yet I've heard a few things recently that seem to indicate that it is a potential.
No, here's the problem. Even if you could travel the speed of light, it would still take you 100,000 years to cross the galaxy. Yeah. The speed of light is not even good enough if you want to actually explore the rest of the universe outside of our local group of stars. The rule is, whatever is your expedition, you want it to be finished before you die.
Yes, yeah. That really helps.
Yeah.
A manned mission to Mars.
It's in our future if the nation has the will to do it. We've got the spacecraft getting built right now that'll get us out of low Earth orbit. We haven't left low Earth orbit since 1972.
Yeah.
So we've been kind of landlocked here, and now we have a new vision statement on the moon, Mars, and beyond. And I think we need that to stimulate the the scientific creativity that we want to make sure kids have growing up so that we're not left behind by the rest of the world.
With the
growth of economies will flow out of our investments and innovations in science and technology.
A lot of that stuff that came out of the original space exploration translated into devices and things that we all benefit from today, correct?
And that, unfortunately, that we all take for granted today.
Right.
That's right.
Yeah. Have they, with a prolonged manned mission into space and Mars and whatnot, have they figured out the issues with radiation on astronauts?
You're well read there. That's a good problem. That's a problem that the radiation from the sun that's not really good for your DNA. You know?
Right.
It just doesn't work.
Wow. You know, the trips to the moon were a couple of days. You could do that between solar outbursts. But a trip to Mars is a multi-year mission.
Yeah.
And the sun over that period of time burps up high-energy particles that can be very damaging to human health.
I don't mean to bombard you with questions, but concerning... I have you on the phone, damn it. I'm gonna wring you dry like a sponge. I've heard theoretically that you could go hang just off a black hole where it's my understanding that time starts to slow down.
Yes.
You could theoretically go there. And then you would not age as as quickly as everyone back at Earth, and potentially come back to meet your own grandchildren.
You could.
Okay.
Or your great 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 grandchildren, depending how long you want to hang out at the edge of the black hole.
Really?
Oh, yep. Yeah.
Isn't that freaking?
Yeah. Speed of light travel. It's
wow.
Because the black hole is its force is so powerful. It actually slows down time.
It not only warps space, it also warps time.
Yep.
And so time slows down. Now you think time is ticking just normally for you when you look out to the rest of the universe. Including back at Earth, everything seems to be going in slow motion. So you can watch whole generations of your descendants, grow up in age, and you can come back and check out. Now, people would have long forgotten about you.
Right, right.
It's an experiment that's not, who wants to do it, really?
Could there really be a tiny universe in an atom in my fingernail?
Not likely, because we know what's in your fingernail.
Okay, right. Just checking.
Listen, unfortunately, you're on a tour now, so you got to go. But
we got to do this again.
Yeah,
we do.
I'm going to call you. I'm going to talk to you like your assistant over there at the university, and we got to get you on again soon.
Here's what you do in January. I got a book coming out on Pluto, which shows the hate mail I got from kids when they learned that we had demoted.
Right.
Well, you come back for that.
You got to come in for that. We love the show. The show is just phenomenal. Yeah. It does it completely right and puts it into layman's terms
and
for
it's
idiots.
All the frontiers of science. We try to make science feel like it's just a natural thing, not the medicine that you're forced to take.
All right. Well, he's the host of Nova Science Now, and we'll get him back on. We promise. Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson. Thanks for coming on, Neil.
Great
we appreciate
deal,
it. All right.
Thanks.
Take care. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. An incredibly smart man.
Don't you love that stuff?
Well, most of all, knows how to explain it properly. Yeah. That's the tough part.
And there was, like, no time between question and answers.
No.
He didn't even have to think about it. He was like, oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. And, Casey, you made a young man very proud. He said you had a very good question.
Dude, I did a couple fist bumps.
I know you did. I know. I'm proud.
That slow child asked a good question. Well, that involves the flux capacitor.
No, canacitor.
Flux canacitor. All right, we're going to take a break. We shall come back in just a moment. We got a much to do before we get out of here, so stay right there.
Hey, Philly, come socialize with us. Follow 933WMMR on Twitter and Instagram, or be our friend on Facebook. See photos, videos, and random behind-the-scenes stuff. Some stuff you don't want to see. Plus, it's completely safe for work. If you work here, that is.
I'm intrigued by this because...
Oh, my bad.
Oh.
What the hell are you doing?
My bad.
Your vagina is.
That's what it sounded like. The vagina is cold, is what it sounded like.
Our vagina is cold. Whose vagina is it? Who it belong to? Some men, they have so much heat and intensity in their penis.
Speaking of the vagina there for a moment.
That is cold.
I'm quite intrigued. Casey had just mentioned something to me quickly that I think you saw a TV commercial for?
Yeah, it kind of threw me for a loop because it was this commercial where these two ladies are out having a good time together.
Let me guess. Feminine hygiene.
Yes.
Because girls never have a better time when they're having their period.
Yeah. So they're out having a good time together. They're out trying clothes on, and the one chick throws a boa around the other girl's neck, and they're like, oh my God. And then she gets this little look like, oh my God.
Fantastic.
Oops, I was laughing, just peed a little.
Wait a minute, what? She said that?
No, but like, that's kind of like the...
That's the look.
The look that she gave. Like,
Press, you know that look.
First of all.
Sure.
Oops.
If ever I were an actor, the one thing I would never, ever do is I wouldn't be the guy who craps himself in a TV commercial. But
I'd love that. Yeah, no,
but this lady, so she pees a little bit, and then it turns out the commercial is for this product. It's like a pad, like a maxi pad. However, they used the term not just a period pad.
Just a period pad?
Yeah.
Is that a tongue twister?
So, yeah.
So you use it in case you're laughing hard and pee a little?
So, essentially,
yeah. Sometimes period I pad. Don't make it to the bathroom in time.
That's what I want to ask. Like, do girls have a problem sometimes where they might just kind of, let a little squirt out?
Casey, in the actual commercial, the impression you got is that what this woman was indicating is that they were having such a good time that she peed a little?
Yeah, she laughed so hard, like, oops, just peed a little. And then they showed the side-by-side comparison of a regular period pad. And a not just period pad.
Was it? Because maybe I'm thinking for older women?
No.
These women were not old from what you gather.
No,
right?
No. My 40s maybe, max,
And they had a decent, thickness, consistency to it?
Yeah, and that was the other thing.
These are pee pads.
They pour the blue liquid on there.
Who pees blue?
Yeah, exactly. But it was,
a Smurf.
They poured out the blue water on it, not just like a little tinkle.
Well, that's weird because pads themselves are disgusting and gross and extremely uncomfortable to wear.
Well, you should be a spokeswoman.
Yeah. Well, they are. But, so somebody who would just wear it in case they peed a little is...
That's gross.
Let me tell you something.
That's gross and odd as well.
I get a number of emails, and we get them, I'm sure you do as well, Preston, from people who pee a little when they're laughing at the show.
Sure.
And the predominant amount of those emails...
I've done it.
Come from women.
Yeah. I think the women pee their pants easier than men do.
Yeah, that might actually be the case. I have full on peed my pants.
Like full on relieve yourself?
Because she's very lazy and she says, that bathroom's pretty far. You mind if I open the floodgates? The levee's just broken my pants. It's Katrina all over again.
No, Steve, I've laughed so hard.
My panties are up on my ass flagging a helicopter.
No, I laughed. I laughed so hard once that a little bit came out and then a little more and then I just couldn't stop it and I was like, forget it, I'm going to have to get change anyway and it just came out. I mean,
really?
It was...
You took a full whiz in your pants.
Yeah. Oh, my... It was a while ago. I was probably in high school, but okay. My cousin and I were trying to sneak out, and go out for the night or whatever and... probably around that time.
Right.
All right.
Well, the only time I've ever peed myself while awake was I was young. I must have been 8 or 9. But me and my older brother, we decided, how the chipmunks.
Were you wearing a pad?
No. But we wanted to do this thing. Remember in the chipmunks when they wanted to look like an adult, they would all get on each other's shoulders and put a trench coat on.
Yeah, right.
Well, me and my older brother did that, and I got on his shoulders, and he turned around and we looked.
Just put on a fake mustache.
He turned around and we looked in the mirror, and I thought it was so funny looking.
Why am I beautiful?
I just started laughing, and then I started peeing on the back of his head.
Oh, that is awesome.
I mean, I couldn't stop. And then we fell over like a Christmas tree, and I just finished.
If it just starts a little bit, you just have to go.
You just go.
I'll tell you where I came extremely close, and it would have been horrible, but Casey and I, we were in a live broadcast. I forget where it was, but I was going to Casey's hotel room, and we were going to drive together, and there was something on the news, and the anchor said they were laughing and crying at the same time. Well, yeah. Casey just busted out into laughing, then crying, and kept doing it. And I almost, it would have been very, very bad, but I did, I think I peed a little bit that morning, too.
Hang on, I want to go to these calls, because we're getting people who are concurring with some of this. Let me go to Amber. Hi, Amber. Good morning.
Good morning, you guys are on.
Thank you. What's up, Amber?
When I was pregnant with my son, I used to wear them. They're called poise.
Poise pad?
Yeah.
Yes.
I like poise.
Well, I could see maybe for pregnant women. I mean, I don't know, but I think some different stuff happens down there.
Poise. Poise.
Wait, hold on. What, Amber?
It's like a Depends diaper, but it's just a pad, and it's not made to hold a full bladder, but when you sneeze and you're pregnant, you really don't have the control.
Well, You know what the impression I'm getting? I would expect a woman who's pregnant who has all that extra pressure to not be able to hold her pee. Yeah.
Would you market it towards pregnant women? Right. Casey's saying these are just...
just regular women. You know how women go around and they like to put boas around each other and dance around and have their whatever and just like to pee. You know, you go, you're peeing, buddy. Hey, you want to go out and go shop and we'll piss together? It'll be great.
So it seems like that they're not targeting pregnant women in the ad, right?
No. These ladies weren't pregnant. They were just out having a good time.
But I mean, I could probably go through my emails right now and get at least, 10 or 12 from at least most of them women who are driving, and I peed myself a little
but
pee.
That's but don't you think that's odd? Like, okay, you laughed so hard you peed yourself. Not like you're out hanging out going shopping. Me and Marissa are going out and we're going to wear pads.
No. Like, what he was saying, though, is that they were having such a good time in the commercial and being so fun and carefree and that giggling they peed themselves.
Yeah. Here's the thing, though. Those pads are so bulky and uncomfortable. Gross. You can never wear one every day. It would be repulsive.
It's that thick and uncomfortable.
They're gross.
Is it like a bed pillow?
Yes.
Do you have to like duck walk?
It's like wedging this huge thing in between your legs.
Well, it's like the butt tampon, like we had talked about before.
It is a lot worse than that, though.
Plus, it's a lot worse than that.
Plastic, so it'll make noise.
Really?
Yes. So pads are disgusting. I don't know how women wear them.
Are there some that wear them all the time? Or
I don't think so. I remember having a friend in high school that would wear like little panty liners, which are maybe like a quarter of a centimeter thick.
Isn't that what their panty liners are for that? Aren't they supposed to keep you from whizzing all over your friends and neighbors?
Well, they're not thick enough. They just kind of catch whatever grossness might come out of that person.
I mean, you're talking, it's full service? Even if a turtle head pops?
No. I think it's really, really thin and just liners. Literally, it's like putting a piece of toilet paper
in your underwear.
Like a
pool liner?
Yeah. Okay. No, but these... Yeah,
well, have so much to worry about.
I know, they really do. But these were bigger than I guess, your average liner.
Couldn't imagine. Didn't that one guy call in one time we were talking about the butt tampon? He called it a flounder. Packing a flounder.
Packing a flounder, that's right. Yeah.
So what would the poise... because it's not... The tampon is not used exclusively for, I mean, one that's exclusively for urination would have a different name, right?
No, this is a pad. This is not
just
a tampon.
Pad? Okay, a pad.
Yeah, so it's a little bit different. I don't know. I have no idea. Let me go to Wendy. Hi, Wendy. Good morning.
Wendy.
Hi, good morning.
Hey, what's up, Wendy?
This is my first time calling. Hey. Hey. Rock. I'm sitting here with all three of my kids.
Oh, good. That's beautiful.
Yeah. My son plays on the football team, and the last 3 years, whenever they went into the championship, us moms, we always give each other the check and call each other, let it remind each other to bring our pads, because when we're jumping up and down, we pee ourselves.
Really?
when you get excited, when they're doing well, right?
Yeah, when they're like, because they win most of the time, so we're always happy, so then we tend to pee ourselves and have a little accident, so we wear pads.
Hey, go team, go!
Just so the opposing teams know, what school do your kids go to?
No, I'm not doing that.
All right.
Hold on, Wendy.
Those are the patties.
Wendy, if you don't mind me asking, how old are you?
I'm, 46.
46 years old.
You're not. These products are routinely, the ones that I've seen, like the Depends, are routinely marketed to women who are in their 60s.
Right.
Yeah. 70s. Yeah. Yeah. She's not old.
And, I'm assuming all these other ladies aren't old. And this is a thing where they're actually, it's like a phone tree.
Yeah.
Don't forget to bring your pee pads.
You know how you piece yourself? Don't forget to bring your friend. I could, it's like the SNL bit, that oops, I pooped my pants.
Oops, I crap my pants. Yeah, I love that.
Oh.
Let me go to...
What wearing a pad feels like. That
bulky? Really? Yes. Wow.
Let me go to Derek. Hey, Derek, good morning.
Hey, what's up, bitches?
Hey, how you doing, man?
Hey, that lady that called just before, she's probably right, because my wife uses them when she works out.
Really?
And, yeah, because we have four kids. We have four boys.
Yep.
And I think it has something to do with having a lot of kids, because my wife, if I have her laugh at all, She tinkles. And,
come on, Derek. Don't tell me that you don't spend your every waking hour trying to crack her off.
Well, of course I do. Yeah. I mean, that's why she married me, for my comedic skills, not for my look.
You know what? My sister used to pee her pants all the time from laughing. I mean, if she would get into a laughing fit, and our neighbor, too, would literally, it was so easy to make them lose control.
Do you know pee themselves. What's weird is a woman who will pee on another woman's pants when she starts laughing.
Yes.
Bizarre.
I'm going to squat on you right now. I'm having a great time.
Oops, my crap. My pants can hold a lot of dung.
Betty White.
Hey, we have it says Eurogynecologist on there.
You're from Europe? Come true.
Let me go to Betsy. Hey, Betsy.
Hi, how are you?
Oh, we're great. How you doing?
Good.
All right, so,
yeah, this is my specialty, seeing people who pee themselves.
Okay, all right.
You must love going to work.
First.
Yeah, the reason it happens, it's not common in women, and it's basically because pretty much any woman that has given birth has a risk of damaging the support tissue in their pelvis.
Okay.
And if you don't have the proper support, when you cough, laugh, sneeze, jump up and down, everything kind of drops. And the tube that you pee through will open up instead of close, and you leak urine.
Okay.
So as long as people keep having babies, there's a risk of that happening.
Now, I had mentioned my sister. She's never had kids, but sometimes
they bang a lot.
Or women who don't have children. Well, then that would be the case. Well, not in a long time, but anyway.
There was that year. The year of the roofie.
What about women who haven't had kids? Do you see it fairly more common in women than men, I would assume?
Yeah. I mean, you know, women who haven't had kids, I mean, it's possible that they could have damaged, if they lift something too heavy, there's always a risk they could damage that support.
Hey.
And then there's just some people just have a weak urethra, which is, there's little chemical receptors in that area that if you're, like, laughing too hard and the pressure in your abdomen kind of just, like, causes a little drop of urine to get in that area.
Yeah.
It triggers this process that makes your bladder think you're peeing. It's kind of pee, and your bladder will spasm and push the urine out.
One drop will signal and a woman with this condition will signal the rest of the bladder to evacuate.
Yeah, it makes you think that, oh, wait, I'm peeing, and then it's like, oh, no, you're not, and you kind of lose control because it's hard to hold it in, because the bladder kind of does its own thing.
Betsy, let me ask you this. Like men, if women stop urinating midstream, is it as painful as it is for women as it is for guys? Because it hurts if you try to stop.
It does.
Yeah, for some people, it could be. It's very possible.
Because every man knows that. If you, for some reason, you have to stop in the middle of it.
I call it whiplash, but without the whip.
Yeah. It hurts.
It's D-lash.
You've already started the process of peeing, so there's certain things that the bladder and the urethra do. So if you consciously try to stop it, the bladder doesn't, when you're trying to consciously stop it, the urethra, the pee through is tightening up.
Yep.
The bladder still thinks you're peeing, and the bladder's still trying to push it out. So it's pushing out against, like, a closed tube.
It's a battle of the fistulas.
Exactly.
Generated from.
I got a question for you. For both men and women, what's the deal with just the sound of running water making you feel like you got to let it go?
It subconsciously triggers the process of the bladder contracting.
It's called the Abdullah Oblong Pee-Pee.
when you're, like, young and you're at a sleepover and you put somebody's hand in, like, warm water.
Yeah.
Like, subconsciously triggers the bladder to contract and then take.
All right, Betsy, you've been a wealth of knowledge.
I've explained it.
Thank you.
I had no idea.
We'll give you a case of cold Coors Light so you can get liquored up before you go. Hang on just a moment. We'll take care of you. But, I think it's got to be much more for women than men.
Yeah.
Have you ever uncontrollably whizzed yourself?
Only while sleeping. Okay. Wet in the bed type thing. You have it. You had some water before you went to bed or something along those lines. And then you have a dream that you are going to the bathroom, and the next thing you know, Amy Grant.
I remember, but have you ever had that?
I've had a dream where I was.
I remember years ago, and I don't because I've never, I'm not the kind of person who wets himself. But years ago,
what kind of person wets himself, Steve?
There are people who have that sort of condition. Yeah,
okay.
You're right because a friend of mine in college used to pee herself all the time.
There's just people who are inclined or predisposed to peeing themselves. There was that movie with from Little House on the Prairie.
Oh yeah,
he was a bedwetter.
It was supposedly the Michael Landon story.
His life story,
and he would wet the bed. And his mom, who was just evil, would hang the sheets out the window.
The friends.
So the friends would show him that he was a bedwetter, and he would have to run home from school, and he ended up being like a world-class track star because of that. Because
mom was hanging his seat out.
Kind of helped him out.
But I remember thinking in the dream that it was not number one, that I was actually, there was something more sexual going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that wasn't that.
Well, I remember several times when I was a kid, you know, having a dream. I guess I was too lazy to get up and go to the bathroom. And then you dream that you're going to the bathroom. All of a sudden you feel relief and you're comfortable. And then it's like, oh, my God. You can feel the warmth down your leg. And that is a rude awakening. Let me go to Dawn real quick. Hello there, Dawn. Are you there?
Hello. You guys rock.
Thank you. What's going on, Dawn?
I'm 38, and I have experienced incontinence problems myself.
Okay,
listening to you guys in the morning is a riot.
Thank you. Do you have is it a medical condition that you have?
I have asthma, and I suffer from bronchitis a lot, and I get to coughing. You get to coughing really heavy. You get to peeing.
Yeah, I believe it. You know,
that's an old Neil Diamond song.
When you get to coughing, you get to peeing.
When you get to coughing, you get to peeing. Peeing a lot and coughing a lot. Look, here comes E.T.
Laughing's still the worst, though.
Laughing does you in.
Yep, laughing does me in.
Sweet pea of mine. Ba, ba, ba. Here comes a bronchitis attack.
Well, be careful then.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Were you going to put that in there?
Hey, we're playing Neil Diamond.
I'm sorry about that.
No. It's on the Pia phone.
Yep. Hang on, I want to go to, hold on one moment. Oh, God.
Uh-oh.
Should I go to Kurt here?
Yeah, do it.
We've talked about this before, though. Hi, Kurt. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey, thank you, man. Go ahead, Kurt.
Well, there's just a condition I have. It's when I drink too much. I go
it's
to
called
sleep.
Alcoholism.
Yeah, it's not a condition.
When I go to sleep, I sleepwalk and I pee on random things.
Yes.
Like, for instance, maybe 2 weekends ago or so, I was sleepwalking and my girlfriend said I just got up out of bed and I peed on a power strip.
Sure.
And she's like yelling at me like, look, you're going to get electrocuted. Yeah. Hit me. And I just like brush her off and to continue, you know, alleviating myself.
Kurt,
and then
man,
the next, what's that?
No, we've heard loads of stories like this, and it just happens. A girl I used to date, her brother got up in the middle of the night. She was reading in bed. He goes into her bedroom. He's walking in his delightful little jammies. Goes over to her desk drawer.
Yeah.
Pulls out the bottom.
Yeah.
And, you know, the file thing. And whizzes in it.
Sure.
Closes it and goes back to the bedroom.
Oh, yeah. Dude.
I had no idea.
I should have just set up a litter box in my in the corner of my room
for
in college. Not for myself. No. I wasn't able even to get out of bed. But my roommate was just infamous for going into the corner of the room, whizzing in the corner, then opening the door, and then going to the bathroom.
Oh.
And he's done that too, Steve, where
he would pre-pee and then go into the bathroom.
And then go into the bathroom. And he also did the thing one time where he pulled open his bottom drawer of his dresser and just all over his clothes, just went to town. Yeah.
There. Now they're treated.
My brother-in-law did it on the TV.
Oh, man.
He peed the TV? Yes.
Wow.
And that was just he wasn't drunk or anything like that. It was a sleepwalk.
I want my PTV.
He got up and decided that was a good spot to do it.
I've told this story before on the air, but a friend of mine went home in college with his girlfriend and met her parents for the first time, and they went out, woke up in the middle of the night, went to the bathroom in the corner of her parents' bedroom, and
no.
They woke up and they were like, what are you doing?
Oh.
He's like, go to the bathroom. Peed in their bedroom.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Jenkins, I'll be down in a second. I won't get any on your stole.
I forgot about that. It was like 2 years ago when we were on vacation. I had a few beers at home, and my wife, she woke up to me standing in the corner of the kitchen going into a salad bowl.
Wow.
We threw that away. Yeah.
Yeah.
I had enough foresight or whatever.
Foreskin.
To open a cabinet.
So you took out the salad bowl?
took the salad bowl out of the cabinet.
If you open a cabinet with your...
they had their salad tossed, would you know what they meant?
You open a cabinet with your foreskin.
Yeah. Wow. Pretty impressive.
Yeah, it is.
But
my next show is at 2 o'clock.
I'm still wondering the hell I was thinking. I actually had
you to probably were not thinking.
No, you're like, right. Yeah. I wasn't, but
you
I
know what this salad needs?
Oh,
this is not
Lord.
A Cobb salad.
Well, there's a billion stories like that, and we always
in this city?
Get into those. But the pee only pad. No, is it period only pad?
Period only pads.
But the other one is the not.
That's all you want.
It's called pee for all.
Yeah. It's not the period only pad. What did you call it? Poise. That's right. Poise was a.
Poise.
Go to the chorus. I want to.
I like boys.
Well, I've got to see this just because Casey does the oops, peed a little face.
And
oops, peed a little. So,
oops, I just blew a crab puppy.
Now they have that available. So,
just gave birth.
How do you know so much about oops, I crap my pants?
I'm wearing them, and I just did.
There you go. All right, well, we got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment.
If you like what you hear, you can see it too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush on Xfinity On Demand.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I've got to go back for just a second here.
Yeah, thank you. Did something make a big impression you earlier, Preston?
Well, the fact that Nick has kept the diary up until
I did
a couple weeks ago.
No. This was, probably like elementary school into junior high, and then, anyway, it faded out.
Did you
do it in high school? Maybe like sophomore year, when I had crushes on boys.
No, I remember as an assignment one time we had to keep a journal for like a composition class or something like that, and I lasted about 2 weeks on that, and I was like, I have nothing to write down.
I admire people who can do it, but virtually all the people I know who do it effectively are women.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Guys could care less.
Well, that's how it started, Preston. It was an assignment, and I was the same way as you. It was like, this is really annoying, but I'll tell you why I kept going. No, seriously, it was my grandfather kept one his entire life, and you want to make fun of my grandfather for being feminine, that's cool. But, thank you.
It's Goober!
But it basically was an autobiography of his entire life.
I'm hydrating my booze!
So
he had an entire chronicle of everything that happened to him throughout his life.
When he passed away, my dad and I and my family were able to learn things about him that we never knew about.
My fear, Nick, though, is that if I do that, somebody will look back through my life and go, this sucked. This was a complete waste of flesh.
Well, you know what reminded me of it? Yesterday when we were talking to Valerie Bertinelli, there are no secrets in her past at all anymore. Yeah. And I think that when you keep a diary, it is supposed to be secret. A journal, maybe less so.
My problem with the diary is that it's accurate. And if you forget things a lot, you can look back and say, oh, yeah, I was a pilot.
but I mean, it is pretty cool that your grandfather did that. But most people keeping a diary are like 16-year-old girls who are talking about, this boy that broke their heart.
Yeah. I don't know. I think there's a certain level of pomposity involved there that
a book about me.
Yeah. Hey, you think I mattered. Here, take a read.
I think what happens with a lot of teenage girls is that they write it as sort of like a therapy thing.
Yes.
Right.
So they can write their thoughts down.
But you realize as a brother, it is your duty to read your sister's diary.
I never had the... I always wanted to, but I didn't have a sister.
I did. I didn't stumble across anything overtly sexual. Nothing I could... The only thing I remember, was her telling the story...
About the donkey.
No. It was about a bong. It was a bong. I remember it clearly called the Enterprise. And my sister was probably in like seventh grade or
really?
Something. Oh, yeah. She was a total stoner.
Would your parents have detonated had they found out that she
My
was...
My dad would have kicked her out of the house, yeah. probably. And I remember reading that, and I was much younger, and I'm like, oh, my God, my sister's a drug addict, you know? It was yeah. weird.
I mean, seriously, I've already talked about this with my wife. I'm going to give my daughter a diary so I can find out what she's doing.
No.
Have you seen... Yeah. By the way, to stop that effective... I mean, to keep that security level up, they now market a diary that is voice recognition activated.
Yeah. Yeah. Really?
So that it'll recognize the girl's voice and open up.
But I had some friends whose daughter did that, and she was young,
yeah.
too young to put scandalous stuff in there. And apparently her password was Hello Kitty. And they found a way to say it. The way she did, Hello Kitty, is how you said it.
Right.
And they were able to open themselves it.
Oh,
by disguising their voice.
And you're gonna reveal things in a diary that can be pretty volatile.
Yeah.
Do you think it's worse when you're in elementary school or middle school? Because there was this girl, Erin, I think it was like 7th or 8th grade, and she kept a diary. She was a friend. She was the cute girl in class. And she brought it on the bus with her and left it on the bus.
Why you don't do it.
And everybody found out what kind of cigarettes she'd been smoking, what boys she'd been kissing, you know, all that kind of stuff. And it was just one of those things where it was like finding a gold mine. You're like, oh my God, this is Erin's diary. It was awesome.
Did it destroy her or?
Well, for that week in, you know, in middle school, you know.
Until they found
her.
Nick's diary. That was great. What's muscle relaxing?
Hang on.
I'm going to go to the phones. I got Rachel on the line. Hey, Rachel, are you there? Rachel.
Rach.
No.
Rach.
No. Okay. All right. We'll have to retool that in just a little bit. But yeah, so they found her diary.
Yeah.
And they went ahead and passed it around.
I mean, every little secret about every little boy that she, you know, that had a crush on or whatever. And that, when you're in middle school or elementary school,
it's
absolutely social suicide.
There was a girl who this is elementary school. She was like sixth grade. She got knocked up.
No.
Yeah. And that information got out through the diary.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, don't write that in the diary.
Really?
Don't write that in your diary.
No, don't write that at all.
Don't tell anyone.
I'm pretty sure you can remember that,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. You know? Am I pregnant?
Yeah. Well, the only reason diaries are written is so that somebody else can read it. I mean, it's going to happen no matter what.
I'm surprised, Kathy, with all that, because you're on some level a girly girl, that you didn't keep a diary at all.
Honest, no, not at all. I tried.
Did
and
your friends?
I don't know. I don't. I never read
you
them.
Man?
If they did, I know. I would get bored, or maybe I was just lazy. But I remember trying to start one,
yeah.
and you know, you kept it under your bed, but it was like a half a page.
That was it. This is my life, right here on the back of this stamp.
I'm pretty sure I've attempted to do it myself, but I can't be consistent with anything. And I think I recall
well,
writing.
It's okay if you miss a decade here or there.
Writing a couple of entries, and I'm like, wow, this, you know. Playing kickball is not diary worthy, you know? Like,
No, but there some people will keep... My dad's daily journal is so extensive, it's just insane.
What is it, like, detailed to, like, oh, every minute what happened?
Yeah. Pre-after breakfast, all that sort of stuff?
He'll pop stuff like that in there, too.
Wait, you know what? I just remembered that I did keep a diary or journal when I went away on vacation, when we went through Ireland. Not this past time, a couple of years ago when
I went with
friends. Yeah, we kept, and I mean, that's pretty cool because you go back and you find all these things that, you know, I mean, most of it's like inside jokes and stuff like that we came up with while we were over there. But it's pretty cool to go back and see everything that we did and, you know.
Yeah, but you can do that just by taking the pictures. I mean, to sit down and put pen to paper, you know, to me is a much more comprehensive and frankly annoying way to go about chronicling your life.
Well, and you know what? The last time, this past summer when we went to Scotland and Ireland, I did it. My husband and I, he sat there and tried to remember everything that we did during the day, and I wrote it down. But we did like one city in Scotland, and we were like, forget it. This is too much.
And Kathy, you mentioned the fact that you think it's for other people to read. I do think that it's for yourself to read. And maybe
did you read your own diary?
Yeah, and maybe that's kind of pompous or something, Casey. But I mean, when you look back on it and you remember, you look at yourself and you can laugh at yourself for being an immature...
I'm beautiful.
immature jerk in
I'm
sixth
beautiful.
Grade.
I'm beautiful.
But when did you read your sixth grade diary? When was the last time you read it?
Probably in eighth grade, you know? But, I mean, it was fun then.
I'm going to go to some calls. I've got Andrew on the line. Hey, Andrew, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? You guys rock.
Thanks, buddy. We appreciate it. What's up?
I just got a story about the diary. I was, like, 22 years old. My first wife found her diary, read it, found out that she didn't want to be married anymore.
Oh, dude. harsh. Did
that
you?
That sucks.
Now here's.
I was bad. I was living in the apartment, so I actually took like 5 books of her diary and I put them down the garbage chute.
Well, yeah. Well, and here's the conundrum.
That's awesome.
You find out something, you know, really scandalous in the diary. Can you tell that person that you
No, because no. You violated the trust. Not unless it's something that... Yeah.
What if it's your kid, though?
That's
see, Casey,
thing.
I'm on board with your thing. And I can see that, because you're going to set your daughter up. But I...
Dude.
If it ends up protecting her... Yeah, I can see it.
You know, we have the baby monitors right now, and you know, so we can hear if they're like vomiting in their sleep. I am going to put those down into the room downstairs when she's hanging out with all her friends to find out who's making out in the laundry room. Like all these things. Like I am going to be the biggest spy on my kids.
You have already. Yeah, your children can barely speak. I mean, beyond the age. I mean, at that age, and you're already the overprotective father.
You damn right.
And so
you know
so
what happens.
You don't see that as a massive violation in trust.
Absolutely. What it is, Preston, is that the people who did all those violations as kids, you know what kind of son of a bitch you
were.
Dude,
I started making out with girls in sixth grade, you know what I mean? I know what guys want, you know, and they will say and do anything.
They want
to get down their pants, you know, Nick.
Dude, well, you know what's funny, though, Casey, when you bring that up? The people that that got on Aaron's good side... The cute girl who lost her diary were the guys who were sympathetic. I was like, oh, that sucks. And you know why they were doing it?
To get in their pants.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's a real bummer about your diary.
There was a girl I remember in, I don't know what grade I was in, maybe ninth grade, maybe freshman or something like that. And she had, somebody got into her diary and found the list. Oh. Like the list of guys.
Whoa. That she wants to do?
That she wanted to do.
Were you on it?
I was not on it. And she was a slut, too, man.
She's really disappointing. There's 400 kids in this school, 380 names. I'm not in here.
Yeah, it was kind of like that. I was really bummed out about that. But if you were on the list, man, you had an open invitation to just get in there and get some. Just go swimming. Go on.
Swimming.
Yeah.
But you know what, Press? I am not going to be this way with Seamus. It's just Casey. Just my daughter. My daughter.
No, that's not cool, man. You've definitely got
to
go.
No, you hire Seamus to watch.
Casey. Right, I'm going to go to, let me get Chris on the line here, I think, if this thing works. Come on. Hey, Chris, good morning. You're on the air.
Hi, what's up, guys? How you doing? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. We appreciate it. What's your story, bud?
A couple years ago, I was dating this girl. She had her diary, and I just happened to find it laying somewhere.
Of course.
So being an interesting kind of guy that I am, I opened it up, took a look, found out that while she was going out with me, she had happened to give a blogie to her ex-boyfriend at the time.
Ouch. And do you bring that up to her, or did you just kind of let it go and just...
Oh, no, I blew her spot up.
You what?
I brought it right to her attention.
Really?
See, that's what I did.
I have to admit, if I were... I don't think I could resist.
Oh, you'd be so pissed off.
I could not resist reading someone's diary. If there was someone's diary in front of me, if it was my wife's, I'd have to read it.
Yep. Yeah. If Rochelle's,
does Rochelle keep a journal?
No.
Okay. She has 3 kids. She doesn't have time.
There's no way. But if she did, and I...
But besides, you broadcast everything that you do in the house to kids.
Good point.
Over the intercom.
That's true.
That's right.
In the house. Yeah. I forgot about that.
But we're having sex now, kids.
Why would anybody, like that last caller, why would his girlfriend document that?
You can't remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I gave a Hummer in a parking lot.
It's got to be therapeutic for some people, I guess. Because I mean, if there's something that you just can't tell anyone at all, maybe
it was so magical.
Down.
Lettuce was falling on my head.
He was eating a burrito. Let me go to. I have Jesse on the line. Hey, Jesse. Good morning.
Yo, what's going on? You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up?
Yo, what's happening? I actually got married pretty young. I got married at 18, so I had 3 sisters-in-law, and they were still in high school at the time.
Yeah.
And me and my wife were snooping around in one of my sister-in-law's bedroom. We found her journal. She's a happy-go-lucky girl, whatever, and inside her journal, she had all, like, these masochistic, crazy, like, I want to kill people thoughts and everything like that.
Whoa.
We had to tell my mother-in-law and father-in-law. Turns out she got diagnosed with bipolar.
No
one had any idea about it until we found the journal.
That's a good thing.
She got diagnosed with Diet Cola?
Wow. No. Bipolar.
Oh, okay. All right,
so what ended up happening? Did they talk to her about it?
What had happened was they confronted her about it, and she didn't understand what was going on. She didn't know what was happening. So they ended up taking her to the doctor. They found 6 or 7 more journals that she had it in there.
and it was this big breakdown. She had to spend some time in the hospital.
Well, they probably saved her life.
Yeah.
Without a doubt, definitely. Because it happened, luckily, at a young enough age that she didn't get too far along where she was safe enough, you know?
Wow.
Man, that's
you got a lot of good reading ahead of you, Casey.
Yeah.
All right, let me go to, you meant line one.
Yeah.
Casey. All right, let me go to Tom. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
Hey, when I was like 8 or 9, found my sister's diary, and she was like 14 at the time.
Yep.
And I was a big fort builder when I was younger, you know, tree forts and stuff like that.
Sure.
Found out the first time she did it was in my tree fort.
She dirtied your tree fort?
Yeah, and I mentioned it to her about 4 years ago, and she's like, you read my diary?
Yeah.
I'm like, you did it in my tree fort.
you could wait 50 years and tell someone tell the girl you read her diary.
It's a violation.
Yep, absolutely.
Apparently that wasn't the only wood in the fort.
Well, I'm dying to get Nick's diary in here.
I can picture it. It was one of those black and white composition books. I had, you know, several of them that I picked up at CVS, and I know that I saved them over the years. It's a matter of finding them.
Did you make illustrations? Did you do little stickies and stuff like that?
No, I think it was just, you know, May 7th, you know, Casey calls me pompous, I want to cry, that kind of stuff.
No. It was March 7th, by the way. I didn't call you pompous. I was calling your grandfather pompous.
You are a girl.
Thank you. You know what? We need to bring that in when you can. Maybe next week we'll get that in and take a look at that. But I tell you what. We'll go ahead and we'll take a break and we'll come back in a moment. We got a lot to get to this morning, so we'll be back in just a minute. Stay where you are.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Papa Roach. A day to remember. The warning.
New music, more of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Beat file number one on the best of, brought to you by the Valley Forge Tourism and Convention Board. Celebrate Crave Monco Month this July. Enjoy discounts, free cocktails, and special menus. Visit cravemoncomonth.com for details.
We're going to start with this. Police spotted a man named Timothy Pleco driving on a dirt road. They said that he was looking at a stack of women's sonograms that he had downloaded on the internet and then had printed. Pleco gave them permission to search his van, and then that's when they say they found a series of strange items. Among them, a blonde wig, rope, binoculars, an 18-inch machete, knives, gloves, two spent 9mm shell casings, and 18 human teeth inside a film canister.
Pleco, he was bringing some ointment back to the girl in the ditch.
Pleco told police that he had driven into the wooded area to call his girlfriend, but according
I had to come out here to look at my sonograms.
But according to the police report, when they questioned him about her, he admitted that he really wasn't calling anyone and said he was just driving around. Pleco says that they were all gifts from his ex-girlfriend, except the human teeth, those he said he found while rummaging through the garbage.
Just a dude driving his teeth around.
That's right. Pleco has been charged with
get off my back.
A concealed weapon. A woman wounded herself and a man on July 3rd while attempting to kill mice with a .44 caliber Magnum revolver. The woman had drawn the gun from a holster under her left arm.
This is a rat. You better get the elephant gun.
It was in a holster, intending to shoot mice scurrying across the floor of her trailer.
Okay.
The revolver.
That makes sense.
The revolver instead slipped from her hand and fired as it struck the floor.
The trailer ain't big enough for the both of us, Mickey Mouse.
The bullet went through the woman's right kneecap, then hit keys hanging on the belt loop of a 42-year-old man in the trailer.
I reckon your time has come.
The bullet glanced off the keys and tore a hole in the man's pants. The bullet grazed the man's groin before stopping in his coin pocket.
Maybe we should stop.
where it was recovered for evidence. The names of the shooting victims were not released in the incident.
Well, they picked the right amount of firepower to take down a mouse.
A 44, mm-hmm. obviously.
Most powerful handgun in the world.
That's right.
It'll kill most mice.
Most.
Most. Not the big bastards.
A Houston man was sentenced to 35 years in prison on Tuesday after prosecutors say he fatally stabbed his roommate during an argument about foot odor. William Serrano pleaded no contest to murder in the death of Noel Vaquero. Serrano cried as he told the district judge that he had been defending himself against Vaquero. However, no evidence was available to show
what,
that...
What, are you going to cry now?
That Vaquero
Come
had a
on,
weapon.
Cry, baby. Cry for me. Come on. Cry.
The defendant said the victim had...
That judge is not very understanding.
...had smelly feet. Another roommate...
would you repeat that, sir?
Oh, he had smelly feet.
Smelly feet.
Another roommate, a woman, told investigators that she had the men arguing, heard the men arguing about foot odor. She said she saw Serrano stab Vaquero 16 times.
Once for each tone.
And there had been, there had not been any trouble between them before. A teen with a list of Fort Worth area police departments was arrested Tuesday after he attempted to deliver cookies laced with LSD to the Lake Worth Police Department. The 18-year-old had a list of the names of 25 area police departments, and 12 of them were checked off.
I'm sure police always gleefully eat food dropped off by civilians.
Well, it was the cookies and candy came in a basket that was looked like it was from MAD, Mothers Against Drunk Driving.
Okay.
So he had it. He went to great lengths to make it look official.
Crime of the century.
No injuries have been reported, but Fort Worth police have confirmed that at least three officers ate cookies from a basket delivered to the downtown office.
He spelled MAD with an L.
Authorities alerted area law enforcement agencies about any suspicious baskets with the MAD logo on them arriving at police stations. And we'll do one more quick story and wrap this up. Let's go.
Make it a good one.
Here we go. A teenager was stunned to find that a baby bat had been curled up inside her bra for 5 hours as she was wearing it. Oh. Abby Hawkins thought her cell phone was ringing when she felt vibrations, but she later discovered the tiny creature tucked away in the padded pocket.
Her bosom is so warm and reminds me of my home cave.
Of her underwear. Mm-hmm. As staff and colleagues crowded around Miss Hawkins.
I tried your crotch first, but it's too smelly. Oh, you need to douche. I'm just saying, as a concerned baby bat.
Oh, my God.
Now, excuse me. I'm going to take a little snooze.
Ms. Hawkins produced the bat, which her manager later released outside. She said, when I was driving to work, I felt a slight vibration, but I thought it was just my cell phone in my jacket pocket.
Must be my bat ringing.
It was not until her lunch break. That would literally be the bat phone.
The bat phone. Yeah.
It was not until her...
Yeah, hello.
It was not until her lunch break when she felt a strange movement inside her bra, which had been hanging on her washing line the previous night. And I guess that's how the bat got in there. And that's it. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you, my friends. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
New on Rock Breakdown, the Prince of Darkness returns with new music. Dave Grohl returns to the stage with help from his friend Paul McCartney, plus some new merch from Def Leppard to complement your beauty routine. Get the latest episode on WMMR.com. Keyword, Rock Breakdown.
We have a guest in our studio who has been in a whole bunch of stuff. I was looking at the list of movies that he's made appearances in, TV shows and things like that. You've also seen him in The Last Mimsy.
Yes.
Sahara. And, you know, and Nick, didn't you mention the other day Galaxy Quest that you noticed he was
in
that?
That's right, yeah.
Galaxy Quest.
And Almost Famous as well.
I have a clip that I'm going to play real quick from The Office.
I wish I could menstruate. If I could menstruate, I wouldn't have to deal with idiotic calendars anymore. I'd just be able to count down from my previous cycle. Plus, I'd be more in tune with the moon and the tides.
And there you go. Please welcome Rainn Wilson.
Oh, yes.
From The Office.
Rainn, yes.
How you doing, man?
That's the best introduction I've ever had.
Thank you.
When people now think of me, they think of menstruation. Thank you so much, you guys.
My pleasure. Well, I'm going to bring up another embarrassing thing. Well, maybe you don't consider it embarrassing, but I was reading a little bit of information.
Some of the
about
movies
you.
That I did?
No.
Oh, fine. Fine works of art.
I didn't mention, what was it, my super ex-girlfriend.
Okay,
so
good.
We'll skip that part.
You know what, though?
No, it's not a bad movie.
You know, after the 75th, 76th time I've seen it on cable, it's you're good in it. You're
Thank
funny.
You.
In fact, they should have focused more in on the friend character because you were sort of the dicky womanizer.
Yeah.
And so it had its. It was Ivan Reitman, right?
It sure.
seemed to be
sure.
a good project.
It wasn't all stinky.
No. In fact, that was the movie poster.
It's not all stinky.
No, but what's your ex girlfriend?
What I was going to bring up was, obviously in Rocker, you're playing drums, and that's I'm a drummer as well. So it's a cool instrument. But I saw that in high school you played bassoon, dude.
Uh huh. Found
yeah.
that last
Poor
night.
Son of a bitch.
It's a pussy magnet.
The bassoon is a pussy magnet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Meaning you hung out with a bunch of pussies?
Oh, hey. The double readers? Yeah. No.
You and the English horn crew were
I have. Together. Ooh, an English horn reference. I love it. No, I was. Oh, my God. I was every conceivable kind of geek. And then I graduated to drama geek.
Oh,
see,
really?
That's the
yeah.
top of the geek food chain. But
You're
I started,
right. yeah.
you know, just total nerd and then, like, band geek. So I was, like, I played, like, clarinet and bassoon, and I even played xylophone.
Jeez, well, would I be correct in assuming that you were aware of your geekiness? And in other words, you were not the object of geek scorn. You were aware you
now,
were...
But back then, back in the day, and we're talking, like, late 70s, like, early, mid 80s, like, there wasn't a geek awareness out there.
Okay. Yeah.
You just were a loser.
Yeah.
And you just got pummeled. There, and there yeah. weren't words for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, you know, the Eskimos have 40 words for snow.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, now we talk about geek, nerd,
dweeb,
yeah. like yeah. different kind of variations.
Spaz.
Back then, it was just like, loser. You're
yeah.
dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're right. In fact, the vitriol that was levied against you back then was probably more severe because now there's a classification. People can be a little, oh, he's just a nerd.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And they're nerd, and we get it, and nerds run corporations.
Right.
And Beck is a rock star and a nerd.
Right.
And, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But back then, that was just bad.
The one thing he had going for you, at least the bassoon is one instrument that kind of looks like a bong. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, level of coolness there, I guess.
I went to the screening last night, and then afterwards, Rain was gracious enough to do a Q&A for about a half an hour afterwards. And it was at that moment that I realized that you have reached sex symbol status. There were girls just fawning over this guy.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
And when I brought that up, and I had asked you, at what point in your life did you become a sex symbol? And that's when you had said, well, when I started playing the bassoon. And
that's right.
Yeah. And there was another bassoonist there, yeah. too. And I gave him a warm, warm embrace.
Sure. Is there some sort of nod or like a Masonic handshake that
yes.
you gave?
Yes. I'm not going to even show
okay.
you.
I don't know if you noticed this, Casey, but when you said he was a stud, he kind of did a little quick pelvic thrust and adjusted himself
in
the
seat.
I sat
up a little taller. I rode a little higher in the saddle.
Well, you walked in wearing your glasses, and now you're not wearing them. Do
yes.
you have the Drew Carey thing, or you just wear them for the show, or do you really need them?
I do need them, but I don't know. They were bothering me.
Okay.
But thanks for asking.
I'm a huge fan of The Office, and so is my wife, and my wife loves you. And I guess it's probably, you know, the funny guy ends up finishing first because, you know, she thinks that you're adorable. And I'm sure, I see a wedding ring on your finger, but I'm sure that that's helped you get ladies over the years.
He just said he was a bassoon player.
You know,
what part didn't you hear?
I have been married for 13 years.
Okay.
Wow.
But theater geeks get ass.
Yeah.
Well the theater
No, but that's
sluts.
Why I started yeah. acting, because I transferred to high schools, and I auditioned for a play, and I, like, got the lead, and I found out I was kind of funny, and I could kind of ham around. I was always goofing off. I was the nerd who, like, goofed off in class.
Right.
Yeah. So I'd get beat up, but the bullies would be like, that was pretty funny. You know? You rolled the giant globe down the aisle of the classroom. That was funny. But here you go. Poof.
What's up?
I know that existed. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And but then, you know, then I auditioned for the play, and then all of a sudden girls were like, hi.
Yeah. Isn't that, and Casey has said it many times, is that the hottest and loosest women to be found are in the drama department.
Yes. Cheerleaders and drama chicks.
Listen to me.
Yes.
Go to the drama department. Right. Because, yeah.
Yeah.
Half of the men in the drama department are in the other persuasion.
Yes.
There's a lot less
so
competition.
The playing field is wide open.
There you go.
Well, yeah. Casey was giving us a word. He was the one that was available to go to the screening last night. But your character in this film, you end up naked for a good portion of the movie.
Naked.
Now, filming, were you wearing like a flesh-toned...
Codpiece or something?
Yeah.
No. However, I wasn't fully naked even in that scene. They gave me what they call a modesty pouch.
Oh.
I highly recommend this. It's like a little satchel with a drawstring, and it goes around... your hoobly bit. And I said last night at the screening, it is... it's very similar to the little satchel in which I used to carry my Dungeons and Dragons dice.
Wow, I know that set.
Exactly what I'm talking. Yeah.
It's a velvety
little satchel, and so that was around there. And then, but yes, there was.
Was it the deep velvet?
It was velvety.
Okay.
Velvety.
So I assume that the movements were then pleasurable.
So pleasurable. But my buttocks were definitely exposed. There's a lot of that in the movie, but it's pretty funny. But I'm starting a movement. You know, I've been traveling around the cities. And by the way, listeners, you have no idea. This is the most beautiful radio studio I've ever been in.
Thank you.
This is insane in here. I mean, there are tiny robots that serve them tea. It's so high tech.
Yeah. Show him. Does anybody have the control for the blinds?
Yeah, all right.
Show him.
Steve's got it.
Yeah, go bring those.
Look at this. He's thinking blinds close, and the blinds start to close.
Well, that one's going up right now. But yes,
the windows that go boom tint. You know that? Have you seen that?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Instead of having actual blinds, they tint up.
There's a restaurant in town that does that. It's called Paradigm, I think. And when you go into the restrooms, when you shut the door into the stall, the boom tint happens.
What? Actually, that's what they're telling you. You're actually taking a dump in front of the entire city. It's okay. No one can see. In fact, they're going to smear it on the walls. No one can see.
But this is the coolest radio station. But I want to say I've been traveling all around the country, you know, promoting The Rocker. And it's great to be in the great city of Philadelphia. By the way, people are so proud of Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah.
I love that. Tonight I'm going to Hotlanta.
Yeah.
But I think Philadelphia needs a new name, and I'm suggesting Funadelphia.
Funadelphia.
Yeah. Okay.
PH?
Can we start? Yes.
Thank you.
PHUN.
Yeah.
Funadelphia.
Yeah.
But I've been going around the country, and, you know, my butt is very exposed, and people always want to ask me questions about my butt.
Yeah.
And I don't blame them, but I'm starting a new word for butt, and I'm seeing if it can sweep the nation.
Let's try it, yeah.
Thigh caps.
Thigh caps. Interesting.
I like that.
Because they are the kind of mushroom caps at the top of your thighs, if you think about it, in a reverse kind of method.
Thigh caps. It almost sounds like sky cap, too.
Yeah.
So if you could do some sort of cross promote with airlines.
Well, I guess try it out.
Try it out. Sky caps.
In a sentence, like Marissa has got some great thigh caps.
Yeah, I like that. And if you use it three times, I think it was either Goebbels or someone else said that if you use it, repeat it three times, it becomes the truth. It becomes a fact. So,
will you guys please start to try and introduce thigh caps into the popular vocabulary?
Yeah, if we can get it into Straight Stuntin' Magazine.
Yeah. Are you familiar with Straight Stuntin' Magazine?
No, and I want to be.
It's for the African American reader. You know, I will periodically purchase them myself. There's magazines like Smoove.
Yeah.
And this one focuses in on large buttocks women.
I think
they yanked it, yeah.
Black Tail, I know.
Yes. But maybe there's some sort of tie-in with thigh caps for another magazine.
A special feature.
Now, in the movie, in Rocker, you do play drums, and I mentioned earlier, now you had played xylophone in band. Did you have to be taught? No, he also
and
said
xylophone.
He played... Yeah, he said he played xylophone, which is a percussion instrument, and that's why I'm asking. Were you trained to play drums? Did you already know? Or?
I really didn't know anything about drums at all. So they hired a drum coach right away. I got a drum set delivered to my garage, and this strange little drum coach came over, and he taught me, you know, the basics of, like, rock drumming. But then more importantly, and he really focused a lot with me on this, and we watched a lot of YouTube videos, like, heavy metal drumming is a whole art form to itself. Very different than the drumming that happened before. You know, it's the stick tricks, pumping up the crowd and, like, gearing in with the band and putting on a little show back there. Remember they had the revolving stools and lowered in.
Tommy Lee had the thing where he was completely inverted at one point playing drums.
Yeah, yeah, and the Def Leppard guy was lowered in from the ceiling with his one arm. You know, there was a lot of that kind of training. And then I had to learn the actual songs in the movie. So it was and I had a drum set even in my trailer. So when I wasn't shooting, I was
playing. All the time you're practicing, would you say you're a fairly serviceable drummer at this point?
I would say I'm a mediocre drummer.
Okay, yeah, yeah. That's
perfectly
not bad.
Perfectly mediocre.
Did you get bit by the bug? Do you want to play now
totally.
For entertainment?
Yeah, I love it.
That's cool. Good for you.
It's great.
And in the movie, your character, in the beginning of the movie, you're playing with a band that is just about to get signed and, you know, make it to the big time. And right before they do that, they kick you out of the band. And something that I didn't notice was that Pete Best was, mm-hmm. was in the movie.
Really?
Yeah. So, somebody had, in the crowd had noticed that. I didn't personally
notice. Someone who experienced this firsthand.
Yeah. No, they thought that would be cool to have a cameo of Pete Best because in a certain way it kind of, you know, echoes his. He was the famous, you know, drummer of the Beatles that was kicked out right before Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
And so he does a little cameo in there. But it was really cool hanging out with him and interviewing him. I was nervous about it, but he's a good guy and great sense of humor. And
what at this point, what are you going to do?
I think he's
there's
also,
no reclaiming it.
He gets residuals, I heard, from those early Beatles tracks, like Beatles on the BBC. And
really?
Those early recordings. Oh, okay. So I think he's fine, and he tours around, and good guy.
We were talking about you being at the Rock Honors for
The Who.
I interviewed The Who.
Oh, my God.
I interviewed Pete Townsend.
That must have been intimidating.
He put his hand on my shoulder at one point.
Wow.
He was so good. Oh, so
is he,
good.
Is he everything that you would want him to be? Because
I'll tell you something. The guy is like 87. He could kick all your thigh caps.
Really?
He could do it.
Number two.
He could do it. And he's a little bit scary. He's intimidating. He's still got that, like, fire, that rock and roll fire.
Yeah, still
you
pissed
do
off.
Not want to piss him off because he will cold cock you.
Yeah, and Rain, I've talked to many people. Some in this building have had a chance to interview him. He is not an easy interview.
He's not easy.
He says what's on his mind. He's real straightforward about it. And sometimes he just didn't feel like talking. And that's tough when you get an interview like that.
Yeah.
How was he while you sat down with him?
I was like a nervous little schoolgirl, you know, doing like a paper report. I was a terrible interviewer. I interviewed other bands, and Dave Grohl and I were, you know, goofing off and flaming lips and, you know, had a lot of awesome interviews, and it was really fun, but I was just like, how do you write your songs?
Turned into Chris Farley.
Totally.
That was awesome.
But he was fine. He was fine.
The difference between him and Dave Grohl, though, is Dave Grohl's is a great musician, but he's like a one of the guys. You know, he's somebody that you can chat with. Pete Townsend, that you're talking to a legend at that point.
At some point, Dave Grohl might cross into that territory because you just think of the collective amount of experiences that a Pete Townsend has had, and it's like what is this interviewer going to bring to the table that I haven't heard before? You know,
I think about I was reeling and I was doing some research on The Who. And this rock, I don't even know when it's airing.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah. It's so great. This concert is fantastic. And I'm not saying that just because I did some interviews or whatever. Like, the concert itself was mind-blowing. Pearl Jam doing The Who was fantastic. I mean, I'm so-so on Pearl Jam, but they absolutely kicked thigh caps.
Wow.
That's great.
They were so good. And but you think about Pete Townsend created the concept album.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of create... First of all, first real rock band, they were the first guys really rocking out. They rocked way harder than the Beatles, and they were rocking out like in 67, 68.
Well, to me, some of the seminal footage of all time is that shot from Woodstock of Townsend doing the knee slide, and they were popular, but they weren't at the top of their game.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think at one time they... Maybe it's Led Zeppelin now, I don't know, or maybe one of the newer bands, but they held the record for the loudest rock performance of all time.
I mean, they had such a punk edge so early on. I just have such a newfound respect for them.
I know it was a small role for you, but you had a part in Almost Famous. Did you get to make any rock connections through Cameron Crowe or through any of the work that you did on that movie?
Not so much. I had played a small part in Almost Famous. That was my first movie I ever did, and I got to see Cameron Crowe at the Rock Honors, and he's friends with Pearl Jam. But at that time, not so much. But this has been a great pleasure of doing the Rockers. Like, I've been interviewing different rock
that's
bands
cool.
and stuff like that.
That's great.
I'm a total geek when it comes to that. Like, if I meet like George Clooney, I'm like, whatever. But rock guys like really. Yeah, float my sky caps.
If you just happen to be, tuning in, it's Rainn Wilson, The Office, and his new movie is called The Rocker, which is going to be out in August. Now, going back to this VH1 thing, which is tomorrow night with The Who, don't you perform as, or at least show up as the pinball wizard with the giant boots and the whole deal?
I do, yeah, okay. I do. I show up as Elton John.
Were these the actual boots from the original Tommy movie?
No.
they built ginormous boots for my feet.
I think they auctioned those off for a charity, the original Pinball Wizard boots.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, years ago.
Those things are like stilts. They're so tall. It's crazy.
I could see you with the glasses on and looking a little bit like Elton John if they did you up right.
I would love to play Elton in the story.
Yeah?
Really? Yes.
Of the Elton John story?
What do you think?
Yeah. You got the sky caps for
it. There you go. Yeah, he just used it for
it. And I love male sky caps.
Yeah.
Sky caps. I said sky caps.
I did too. See, I planted that insidious bug in your mind.
I love that. Thigh caps sponsored by sky caps.
I just think you're an airport aficionado.
You mentioned a little bit ago that you're so-so on Pearl Jam, but you're from Seattle.
Yeah.
And were you in New York when that whole scene kind of came on? Did you miss the bus on that?
Or? I missed it, man. I moved to New York in 86, and then that's right when the whole grunge was taken off, and then I kind of discovered Nirvana kind of, you know, when everyone else did, when Nevermind came out.
In 91,
and then I totally got into it then, but I was not in Seattle at the time.
Any opportunity to stage dive or crowd surf or anything like that in your past?
No, I got to see Nirvana in their last American concert.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool, but I was kind of huddled to the side. I wasn't doing the moshing.
Okay.
I was scared of moshing. I'm tender. I bruise easily.
Hey, since you're in Pennsylvania, are you going to go out to Scranton while you're here?
No way.
Kidding. I think, you know, even Steve Carell is so good in The Office, but
he sucks.
I think there are other people that could pull off that character, but there is no way I could see anybody else playing Dwight Schrute. You have just created that character.
You're also an improvement on the. I mean, and Ricky Gervais produces both shows, obviously. But your realization of the character that was in the British version is an entirely different spin, which I think is better.
But here's the thing, guys. What you don't understand is I'm probably the greatest actor alive.
I can tell.
So I don't know. You guys hadn't mentioned that in any of your plugs for me. And next time I come here.
Well, that's reason enough to see The Rock.
If you could, if you could mention how amazing I am as an actor.
That'll definitely be part of your introduction.
And how mediocre Steve Carell
is. We'll kiss your thigh caps on your way in.
Yeah.
And by the way, Jane Lynch, who we just had in studio last week, she's in The Rockers.
Yes.
Jeff Garland and Christina Applegate looks amazing. I mean, the best I've ever seen her look.
Total. Mm-hmm. This is her first delightful MILF role. Mm-hmm. And I got to mash with Kelly Bundy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
really? In the movie. Yeah, yeah, for realsies.
Did you grab her thigh caps?
No, but they're pert. Oh, they're surprisingly pert. Yeah, and
did you make out with her in the movie?
Yeah, there was like some smooching, but it's not like full on like tonsil hockey thing.
Okay,
so
does the wife get jealous of that, or is she cool with that?
I am paid. I'm like, honey, this is what I'm paid to do.
I get paid.
I'm an artist. The script calls for us to kiss and to embrace. I'm so sorry. Yeah. But I must immerse myself in this role for the art.
So I'm going to go rehearse real quick.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Rain, we appreciate you taking some time to come by here.
You guys are awesome. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
Awesome. We love you, Thigh Caps.
Yeah. Oh, thanks.
Thank you very much. It's Rain Wilson, gang. Preston and Steve show. We have a break to take. We'll come back in a moment. Stay put. Back in a minute.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
I want to play this piece of audio. Am I stupid for finding this funny?
No. It's funny.
No?
It's funny on two levels because it captures the things that can get in people's craws, the things that can drive people crazy. I've never been moved to call a complaint line. I've never I have too much going on in my life. I never complain about, you know, like I never call up a TV show or a station and go, I don't like that show or whatever. Why? But this guy gets this thing in his mind about the product Jimmy Dean sausages.
Yes.
And you got to hear the dejection in his voice.
Yeah, I mean, it just, you've got to appreciate what customer service reps have to go through.
Oh, God, yes.
You know, and I just got an email yesterday because I was talking about how great Comcast cable and their customer service is. I got an email from somebody who works there, and they said, you don't understand how bad it is. Like, somebody will sit there with a red and white wire and then call and say,
what do I do with these? You know, like
when,
you know,
when,
like,
the, yeah. when the jacks in the back are both red and white.
Yeah. So when you listen to this, you can really appreciate what some people have to put up
on the customer service yeah. side. But this is great. Yeah. This guy loves his Jimmy Dean sauce.
Loves it.
He's not a screamer or a yeller in this.
Just let it progress.
Just take a listen. Here we go.
I don't know where you people come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your products. Your products are very delicious. Love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of five on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage, but you don't have it anymore. You've got a 12-ounce roll, and you've got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece, a woman that's a little plump Scotch girl, and a daughter who's 13, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that, it ain't going to work. And I'm not going to
pause for a second.
A couple dozen eggs.
Couple dozen eggs, 16-ounce thing of sausage and steak.
Well, he mentions the steak coming up. Coming.
But in other words, I think most people would say, all right, it kind of sucks. I'll get the second roll, though. I'll just get, you know. So, in other words, but he has it so precise. 16 ounces of sausage is just right.
That's right.
For the three guys over 200 pounds and the ladies.
And the plump wife and the 13-year-old.
And that works perfect. Why did they F it up?
Yeah. All right.
Your product. Anymore or ever again. And as far as your 16-ounce and maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the North. I'm a Texas man. Jimmy Dean sausage.
You know, that sage is just so exotic.
It's so and European. Maple syrup. Yeah. So Parisian.
It's for Southern people to eat with the breakfast with the fried eggs and the T-bone steaks.
And the T-bone steaks. A dozen eggs.
Two dozen eggs.
T-bone steaks and sausage.
16 ounces of sausage. That's breakfast.
And I can't see going to a little 12-ounce package to feed 4, 5, 6 people. And I'm not going to buy two of those 12-ounce packages just because you want to downsize and charge the same goddamn price.
Now, pause it.
Now he's mad.
Isn't it conceivable that you could buy the two 12-ounces and then put the remaining, measure out the 16, and then put the remaining in a piece of Tupperware.
Right. Mm-hmm. Easily. Or cook it all up and save some for later.
Save some for later.
That's all you have to do. But the best is when he thinks he's hung up the phone because he continues on.
I'd sure like a reply, and I'd sure like you to go back to your 16-ounce package on your regular sausage because I'm not going to buy it otherwise ever again. I'll just have my own damn sausage made like I used to 30-something years ago. It's not as tasty as yours is, but it'll work. Goodbye. That little 12-ounce goddamn roll of sausage supposed to be your brother and me and you, 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the two girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekeroid. Save money. I'm going to eat, goddammit.
Man knows what he wants.
God, I love that. Some pussy roll of sausage.
Save money. I want to eat, goddammit.
I got to hear that last part.
600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the two girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Somebody needs their ass kicked.
Someone needs to be beaten
over reallocating the amount of sausage.
And the two girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. Son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekeroid. Save money. I'm
going to
eat, goddammit.
You know, the wife he's talking to is like the mom in Gilbert Grape.
Oh, God.
She's
oh
a little plump. God.
I love that.
I have called the customer service lines before, you know, for like fast food places. Yeah. I actually, you know, one time I was in a drive-thru and I was second in line, and it took me 15 minutes to get my food. So I was second in line, and it took me 15 minutes to get my food. And I called when I got home because I was like, "This is nonsense." But another time, I was literally.
Well, what was your response that you got when you called the customer line? Were they
great? Yeah. Because you know what? First of all, don't call. It's not. Whoever's answering the phone, it's not their fault.
Yeah.
So don't take it out on them. A lot of people will do that. As soon as they get an operator on the line, bam!
God damn it.
They'll start yelling at that person. So if you treat them with a little respect, you'll get it back.
There was another time, and I'll say that I was at Popeye's Chicken, and again, I was second in line, and I was waiting. It was a good 5-10 minutes, and I'm just waiting before I'd even been waited on, right? So I'm sitting there, and I look at the number, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. Bloop, bloop, bloop. And I call it. I'll call the customer service line as I'm waiting in line.
The cashier say, sir, stop going bleep, bleep, bleep. You're scaring the other customers. And you want to eat, goddammit.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
The other customer. Yeah. But I was seriously on the phone with the customer service person for 10 minutes after I was already there for almost 10 minutes. Just sitting there.
And did they do anything? Did they say, well, send you a coupon. Well, we'll make this up to you somehow.
I just said, you need to send somebody out here to manage this place correctly because there's only 3 people in the whole store and here I am talking to you. And
quickly to the Popeyes counter.
Yeah. Casey, I've done it as
there's
well.
There's trouble. It's store number 17.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
For a fast food joint. And Steve, they sent me coupons. I got, $50 worth of, I think it was Wendy's or KFC or something. But I called. It was the same exact thing. Horrible service. Waited forever. And I was like, you know what? They should know that. Because I think the corporations want to know if their stores are performing poorly.
Well, I mean,
they sent me coupons.
In this case, the guy's like, for so many years, he's had that product. That's 16 ounces.
Yeah.
You know, well, why are you effing with this stuff, man? I mean, now it's 12 and 12. What am I going to do with that additional meat?
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
It occurs to me that if they're eating that plus T-bone steaks and 2 dozen eggs,
right,
they might have just enough appetite to polish off those additional ounces of pork.
You know, it's not a stretch.
No, you already had your 7 pieces of bacon.
I'm going to go to Rob. Hey, Rob, good morning. Rob, are you there? Nope, we lost Rob. Oh, Rob's dad is apparently exactly just like that. Let me go to Brian. Hey, Brian, good morning.
Morning.
Hey, what's up, Brian?
Nothing much. I want that as a ringtone.
I want to eat, goddammit?
Absolutely.
All right.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah.
We'll see if we can put that up on the website.
I'm trying to clean it up. The audio's not the best.
Here you go. Camp Out for Hunger. This is from my Eyes Bled Clear. The Camp Out for Hunger theme this year. I want to eat, goddammit.
that should be
the slogan.
We'll put that on the instant replay.
Yeah. Hang on. Let me go to Chris. Hey, Chris, good morning.
You guys rock.
Thank you. What's up, Chris?
Hey, Preston, why don't you try the need to eat pizza? The Jimmy Green guy sounds just like you.
He sounds like me.
It does.
What am I talking about? I am talking about the need to eat pizza.
I'm going to eat, goddammit.
A small 12-ounce pizza, can't have that. You used to have a 16-ounce pizza.
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about, the need to eat pizza. I can't feed over 900 pounds of men.
Yeah, I've never been the hotlines and complain type person.
I just don't have the time or the will. I actively try to avoid... those kind of a-hole situations. Like, what are they gonna care? Just to use a different product. If you don't like something, use something else.
Well, it's not if I don't like it, but if I didn't like that service, when I was waiting 15 minutes in a drive-thru when I was second in line, I want to get home, goddammit. That's how I felt.
Goddammit.
And this is before cell phones, so I actually did take the time to get home.
And call.
And call that number, so.
I used, my friend used the movie Summer School as a reference, where the guy writes and complains and gets all the free stuff.
Yeah.
So in high school, he would just write to every company with a nice... confident letter, and then get free stuff all the time.
There was actually a book out that explained the merits of doing that, where you would just, write to customer service departments, because that's really what they're there for. They're there to issue out coupons or whatever, unless your head blew off if you you ate one of their products. But otherwise, we'll make it up to you. We'll send you some new ones.
Yeah. Let me go to Karen. Hey, Karen, good morning.
Good morning.
What's up, Karen?
I was just calling because I work in customer service, too. And people who call in and are really nasty, we will do everything we can not to help that person. But if they're nice, we will spend a half an hour just needing whatever they want. We'll give it to them.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's true.
People who are calling in, just be nice. You can get whatever you want.
It's true. If you call up bitching and raging, they're going to do everything they can to make it difficult for you.
Hey, listen, I went to my wife and I went out to eat. What was that last week? The kids were getting a little bit crazy. It's one of those BYO places, So I had a bottle of wine, bought a nice bottle of wine, spent a whole $5 on it. And so the kids were going crazy towards the end of the meal. So we cut our meal short, and I had to help my wife carry the kids out to the car. So I left the bottle of wine on the table, which I was going to take home.
all of my food and my coat and all this stuff, right? I got out to the car, get back. I was probably gone for a minute and a half. And they completely cleared the entire table. And it's, you know, I didn't complain. But the waitresses had a big problem with this, and they felt really bad. They threw away my wine that I was going to take home, and they went and got the manager, and the manager came over, and he was really cool. And, you know, I just... What, man? I know. But so I wasn't going to complain, and I didn't complain, but the manager was so cool. And I guess because maybe I wasn't a big dick about things, he ended up giving me a gift certificate for the restaurant.
You know?
And then, boom.
Yeah, exactly. So
just be nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, but there's this guy.
Until it's time to not be nice.
Thank you, Dalton. I got a couple instant messages that want to hear it all the way through one more time. So,
all right.
You want to roll that again?
Sure, right. Why not?
Here we go.
I don't know where you people come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your products. Your products are very delicious.
Very delicious.
I love that. Hold on.
Products are very delicious.
Love them for many years.
If he were Irish, he would sound like...
very delicious. Yeah, it's Bob Geldof. I love your... Love your products. I've been eating them for over 30 years. It's wonderful. But just as you're talking 300 pounds of goddamn men every morning, some T-bone steaks or 5 dozen eggs or haggis. Just wanted to let you know I will not be buying your products anymore. I'm now going to switch to Lynx and sausage patties.
The Texan bucket.
Oh my God.
I live in Texas, Ireland.
All right, hold on. Let me
come from. I don't know if you test your products, your quantity of your product. Your products are very delicious. I love your sausage for 30-something years, but I can't take and feed a family of five on a little 12-ounce roll of sausage. I don't mind paying you more money for your 16-ounce roll of sausage, but you don't have it anymore. You got a 12-ounce roll, and you got three men that weigh over 200 pounds apiece. A woman that's a little plump, Scotch girl.
Because his perception is over there, Jimmy Dean Sausage, at the manufacturing plant, like somebody will snap at him, you can't feed the DeLucy boys on that kind of 12-ounce roll. They're big boys over there.
That's right.
A woman that's a little plump, Scotch girl, and a daughter who's 13, and you're going to try to take a 12-ounce roll of sausage and a couple of dozen eggs and feed that, it ain't going to work. And I'm not going to purchase your product anymore or ever again. And as far as your 16 ounce of maple and sage, I don't eat that. I'm not from the north. I'm a Texas man. Jimmy Dean sausage is for southern people to eat with the breakfast with the fried eggs and the T-bone steaks. And I can't see.
Could you imagine?
Fried egg, sausage, and T-bone
sausage
steaks.
And T-bone steaks and eggs.
Yes,
for breakfast.
He's plural on the steaks, right?
Yes,
that's what he says.
T-bone steaks.
That's right.
A little 12 ounce package to feed 4, 5, 6 people. And I'm not going to buy two of those 12-ounce packages just because you want to downsize and charge the same goddamn price. I'd sure like a reply, and I'd sure like you to go back to your 16-ounce package on your regular sausage, because I'm not going to buy it otherwise ever again. I'll just have my own damn sausage made like I used to 30-something years ago. It's not as tasty as yours is, but it'll work. Goodbye. That little 12-ounce goddamn roll of sausage is supposed to be your brother and me and you, 600 pounds of men, at least. You get my point? And the two girls, and they put it in that pussy roll of sausage. You son of a bitch. Somebody needs their ass kicked. Some little consumer geekaroid.
Save money.
Save money. Yeah, save money. Save money. I'm going to eat, goddamn it.
You know, that was the biggest thing to happen in that household in the past month. Did you hear Daddy D? He called up them Jimmy Dean boys.
I love that. I absolutely love that. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a minute. Stay there.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
It's kind of self-explanatory after that.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
You're not going to believe this story.
Okay. All right, then don't read it.
Not going to believe this story. No, you'll want
to waste of time.
No, you will want to hear it. It's just you're not going to believe it. In England, a top teenage athlete began an incestuous affair with her long-lost father after tracking him down, a court has heard.
Oh, man.
What?
Chelsea Cummins, who is now 21 years old, would meet...
Now I'm getting turned on.
...would meet for secret trysts with her own father, Stephen Broomhead, at his home. She's 21, he's 42.
Now, she knew about this?
Yeah.
Well, okay. She tracked him down. She went all this time to meet him and then falls in love with him.
Their relationship continued for 2 years despite both having other partners. When she became pregnant, Miss Cummins could not be certain of the identity of the father, so she decided to abort the baby. Oh, she became jealous when her father rekindled a relationship with her own mother, Lisa, and as she discovered them in a passionate clinch. Miss Cummins told her mother, "He'll only cheat on you. I hate my father. Do you remember when I was pregnant the previous year? I had a relationship with him."
Jesus. Oh, my God.
She later told police that he has... She said he has never...
You're a common whore!
He said he has never been my dad, so I didn't look at him like that. I did have sexual feelings for him. It wasn't planned, and I didn't think about it because it just happened.
She's pretty decent looking.
She's real cute. Miss Cummins pleaded guilty to 2 offenses of sexual activity with an adult relation, and she was given an absolute discharge, but the judge sentenced Broomhead, who was charged with the same offense, to 3 years supervision and ordered him to attend a sex offender program.
I've heard of this before. I saw a Dateline episode. It's I don't want to say common, but it happens where reunited a mother son or father daughter
will actually fall in love,
have romantic feelings for each other because they never had a parent. So this love that they feel they can't interpret.
Wow,
yeah, it's bizarre.
It's messed up.
Uh huh.
It's so hot
in Rome.
Oh, God, Steve.
In Rome, police said a family in southern Italy kept a woman locked in a room in their house for 18 years. Because they were angry she was pregnant out of wedlock.
Wow. But even though it's a sad story, the music was always very happy. They said, "I know this is a terrible thing, but don't you just love the music?
Ooh, and I meant
somebody. Who can be sad? Even if you've been locked up in a room for 18 years and that whole abortion thing, I know it's just sad, but meet the boys and dancing."
Police said they freed the woman on Friday. She was taken to the hospital for psychiatric care.
There was a dude that was just in Austria.
Yeah.
The girl spent all her life in a room just like about the size of a large bathroom.
Police said they arrested her brother and sister and put her 80-year-old mother under house arrest.
What'd she do?
After police received an anonymous tip. Italian TV.
How did I do?
Showed the room with a bed, chair, filthy toilet, and sink.
Oh.
And police said the woman's child, now 17, was living with relatives and didn't know about his own mother. Let me see here. A man has been airlifted to an Australian hospital after a base jumping accident in far north Queensland. He will be treated for suspected pelvis and femur fractures and possible internal injuries after falling more than 260 meters, which is about 800 feet, during a jump at Wallerman's Falls.
Wouldn't have mattered.
A spokesperson said that he fell heavily onto the water at the base of the falls after his parachute failed to open properly.
So an 800-foot fall,
yep.
Parachute didn't open properly, hit the water,
yep.
And survived.
Yep. He was treated at the accident site for about 3 hours by a group of local firefighters before he was rescued. He may have internal injuries, though, so he's not out of the woods as of yet. This is a terrible story. I can't end on this. A 13-year-old boy who was tied to a tree 2 nights this week died on Thursday.
Were disciplining him?
Yep, and his father and stepmother have been charged with murder. Bryce Brian McMillan and Sandra Elizabeth McMillan have been charged with first-degree murder and felony child abuse. Deputies were called to the residence Thursday afternoon to assist paramedics with an unresponsive teen. The boy's father told deputies he had tied the teen to a tree outside the home Tuesday night because he was being disobedient and other disciplinary actions had failed. Father said he untied the boy Wednesday morning and allowed him back in the house, but when he was tied up in the tree a second time that night when he started acting up again, the boy remained tied up until his stepmother found him unconscious at about 4:30 p.m. on Thursday.
What do they say killed him?
They don't know yet. They're going to have to look into it. But sometimes, you know, you can fall asleep and be in the wrong position.
Yeah, yeah.
If you're restrained like that, and it can kill you.
You can't breathe, yeah.
He was identified as Tyler Green McMillan. He was in cardiac arrest, was taken to the hospital where he was pronounced dead. That is a terrible, terrible story. So we'll end with this one. A pilot was forced to make an emergency landing after the flight crew were overcome by fumes from the aircraft lavatory. The incident.
Sweet Jesus. Are you kidding me?
Dude,
come on. Jesus Christ.
The incident.
I usually don't allow this to happen, but open up the door. Hold on to something because it's going to get a little dicey out there. But if you want that air biscuit lingering in the cabin, you better do something now.
The incident took place on a Flybe BAE-146.
Which is thank you for flying, Flybe BAE. I'm a pilot, but I never actually mastered the name of my own aircraft. Is that a bitch?
Which is being flown from Birmingham to Belfast.
I always hold my hand over my mouth because I'm so embarrassed. You gotta fly for Flybe BAE.
The 52-year-old pilot complained of feeling lightheaded shortly after takeoff.
Do you smell a fart? I'm wearing oxygen masks and I smell a fart.
The other members of the crew also complained that they felt drunk after the fumes started
remind everyone that whoever smelled it dealt it.
Seeping into the body of the aircraft and the cockpit, all five donned gas masks. Problem was caused by too much formaldehyde being used to clean the lavatory during maintenance.
They used formaldehyde to clean the toilet.
Yes, cleaners.
The pilot said.
Cleaners had overdosed the lavatory.
The inquisitive pilot asked.
Earlier this year, the government announced that it would carry out an investigation of cabin air amid reports that one in 2,000 flights could be exposed to toxins in cabin air. There were 116 separate reports of contaminated air.
Formaldehyde is a cleaning agent?
Sent to the Civil Aviation Authority last year.
I'm more familiar with that used as like an embalming.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe in maybe over in Europe land they do that. I don't know.
BBBB.
On flight BBBB.
I got to crank my headphones up to hear what I'm saying, and it's causing feedback. I apologize.
Oh, man.
Just the world of my hell.
All right. Well, there you go, my friends. That's what we have in the Bizarre File. We are going to be back in just a moment. Stay right where you are.
Did you know you could listen to all of WMMR's podcasts as well as our live stream on your Alexa-enabled device? It's easy. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
And the trash this morning is brought to you by Penn Beer and Michelob Ultra. Join Casey and the WMMR Rock and Rollers in the Bend to the Shore Bike Tour on July 24th. Register at bendtoshore.org. Time to take out the trash.
And I'm supposed to play this.
All the ends of the earth, all you creatures of the sea, wow. Lift up your eyes to the wonders of the Lord. Oh, for the Lord of the earth, the master of the sea.
Hey, what's going on, man?
Well, Denise Richards and her lawyer, Neil Hirsch, are trying to convince a family court judge that there's a serious issue in ex-husband Charlie Sheen's home that could have an adverse effect on their kids. Apparently, Charlie's been feeling nostalgic lately and has been holding hooker reunion parties.
Oh, good for him.
I
Dennis Farina pled no contest to charges that he had a gun in his briefcase while going through a security checkpoint at LAX in May. Farina attempted an interesting defense, saying that the gun was not intended to be used as a weapon, but rather for shooting in the air and yelling yeehaw.
Oh, you're naughty.
Donald Trump finally sold his Palm Beach estate to a Russian billionaire for $95 million. Whoa. Trump was originally asking $125 million for the place, but dropped the price after it was revealed that neighbor Madeleine Albright sunbathes in the nude.
Oh my God.
Price reduction there. And finally, crack buying Oscar winner Tatum O'Neal says she was planning on helping the homeless drug dealer she attempted to buy drugs from, but he got deported. Said Tatum, quote, "The frustration I feel over this incident is enough to make me turn to the sweet, euphoric healing powers of free-based cocaine." It's your Hollywood trash.
All right. Thank you very much, Steve. I got an IM. It says, "Let Steve know." This is from Fruity Babs. I just sang every word of that Creature song right along with him. That was Casey. That's Casey. It says, "In operetta style."
Oh, yeah.
And it says, "I also went to the next verse. I have not heard that song since Catholic school."
That's a church.
I can't
song.
Stop laughing.
That is a chirp song. We did it in chirps, man. But in grade school, every first Friday, the whole school went to Mass, and that was the song that they sang at the recessional.
Right.
At the
chirp.
Very, very end. And when you get to the master, like, you would just hear it was like a whisper. All the kids couldn't wait to get to that part.
All the end. Of the earth, all you creatures of the sea, lift up your eyes to the wonders of the Lord.
I think you have a good voice.
Lord of the earth, the master of the sea.
Do you know what the next line is?
Oh, yeah, but I couldn't get
it. Oh, Vodio,
no. No, but I started.
Who's your daddy?
I started too high, so there's no way I was going to get there.
You couldn't get there.
You know what, though? That reminds me of, like, Jim Neighbors. Remember Jim Neighbors used to have Gomer Pyle?
Yeah.
He talked like this, but in normal life,
Old Man River. That's
right. He was a classically trained singer, right?
I guess.
He still sings if he's still alive. He still sings the national anthem at the Indianapolis 500.
Really?
Yeah.
Jim Neighbors.
Yep, every year.
Let that go. Yeah. Wow. When your honorary pace car has Goober in it.
This one says, yeah, that we also did body movements to that song, too.
Body movements?
Yeah, I don't know.
I didn't have body movements to that
Roll
song.
Roll your shoulders?
No.
Was she trying to talk about bowel movements?
Maybe. I don't really know.
But, Steve, they're actually, speaking of Jim Neighbors, there is a Jim Neighbors CD out there. I mean,
there's tons of them.
Yeah, it exists. I mean, I saw the commercials for it. Like, you know, somebody's sitting there going, I need a Jim Neighbors CD. Thank you, commercial on TV.
Dude, that's probably Mrs. Neighbors.
Yeah. Steve, do you remember they used to run commercials for Slim Whitman?
Oh, yeah. Slim Whitman, who apparently sold more albums than the Beatles in Beirut.
Yeah. Who? You guys, you don't remember that.
No. Slim Whitman was it with Yodel.
Yeah, it was like the early 80s, and he was this country. He was big in Europe.
He was huge in Europe.
Massive, and they would have little infomercials that would run for the Slim Whitman collection.
Press, they used to pound that. This is before there were a lot of cable channels, so you'd see that all the time. You would see the Roy Orbison commercial, Zamfir, Master of the Pan Flute.
Sure.
That's the one that
all
I remember.
The time.
And I watched a lot of TV in the 80s, and the Zamfir was on all the time, but I don't remember Slim Whitman.
Slim Whitman. Yeah. He had one, like, semi-hit.
I couldn't tell you. Okay. I just knew the infomercials, and that was it. And they always,
I think it was Don't Fear the Reaper.
It was
Cowbell?
Really?
No, and
they always had a voiceover that was like, he's entertained millions for decades.
Or thereabouts.
This astonishing collection can all be yours. And it was always,
when was the last time an album made you say, let's get back in the car and return this?
All the ends of the earth, all you creatures of the sea, lift up your eyes to the wonders.
I'm sorry.
He's thrilled audiences in groups of 10 to 15.
Lift up your eyes to the wonders of the Lord.
By the way,
dude,
church.
You're going for it.
Did you see me quitting in that?
No.
I wish I did.
I can't believe we only got two verses, man.
I'm sorry. Church songs suck. You have no idea. For 2 weeks, I think, Press, you've been reading that thing for Academy of Natural Sciences, and every time, you know, I'm trying to have this inner thing going on so I don't just blurt out, you know, everything, just blurt
it
out.
You wanted to sing it every time.
I wanted to. I was like, you know what? Let me just go record this. Let me have him listen to it.
Because you know we would have tore you a new one.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
No, but Case, I know what you mean, because there was something else that Preston had. I forget what it was, but every time and I thought somebody else was going to do it, and you didn't, but I just wanted to sing. I couldn't remember what it was.
Lift up.
Oh, damn.
You're right. eyes to the wonders of the Lord.
But Steve, you said church songs are the worst.
Church songs are the worst.
Steve, my mom used to, we would have to stay until the end of the song because it didn't matter what song it was her favorite.
Oh.
Oh, wait, no, this is my favorite.
This is great.
This is my favorite. I love the ends of the earth. I love this.
Even the music runs out at a certain point because they try to jam to it. And the crucifixion and pacification of the followers of the sanctity of, what? My dad's a canter.
Lift up your eyes to the wonders of the Lord.
And you can't fit the syllables in with the music.
No, and it's always the same music. And I would hear my dad's a cantor for our church, and I would hear him practicing, you know, like Friday, Saturday nights. He would get the psalm, you know, and you had to fit that psalm into whatever music was playing. And it was
there's always some douchebag standing like four rows back. The House of Bread, you know that one.
How's it go?
House of Bread.
House of Bread. House of Wheat.
Yes,
House of Wheat. Yeah. I would sing House of Bread.
you were saying House of Wheat.
House of Muffin. I don't know. What are we singing about? But they jam so many lyrics into not enough music.
All right, hold on. We have Slim Whitman.
Uh-oh, here we go.
This is apparently...
That's it.
He sold over 5 million albums. Or thereabouts. He's the number one entertainer ever to visit Tikrit.
I'm always dreaming of you.
Signed his first record deal with Columbia Record House at the age of 11. One penny got him 100 albums. Slim Whitman.
Sometimes. Oh,
Christ, does he suck.
But if
your nut got caught in a door, he would sing like Slim Whitman.
To lose you.
And you'd sit there and go, and you'd be so late at night, and you'd be so, you'd be going, yeah, I should probably check into this.
And Steve, that's when there was nothing on.
Right, yeah.
And you would sometimes, that's all, it was either that or Static, and you'd be forced to watch the Slim Whitman infomercial. Oh my God.
His concerts of wild people. 15, 20 at a time.
Carson used to have him on. I think,
Slim Whitman.
On occasion.
That yodeling crap. You just wanted to hit him with a shovel.
Wait,
that made me think of that.
I really want to know what song that is. House of Wheat. House of Bread.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do,
though.
But I can't
and
think of it. I want
to
sing it.
The priest went on about how bread is, you know, wheat and the whole thing. And I'm like, what
it's
is
not,
this?
One bread, one body, one
tear.
Is that it?
That's it.
That's it?
One bread, one body.
That's all we know.
You know what, man?
I never know. I just move my mouth.
Yeah, my
because
brain.
Because the priest is always looking at me because I'm the bald dude in the church.
Yeah. But between, you know, all of Catholic grade school and I went to two different Bible schools in the summer, my head is filled with so much Bible song stuff that, you know, and I can never.
Did you sing? Did you used to sing?
Yeah, when it got to a certain point, I had to. You know, my dad was a cantor. My mom, you know, was always
singing. Cantress.
Yeah. My sister, I mean, they love singing at church. You know, like some
Not
people
me.
Are just there. They're going to pray. They're going to do their thing. But then there's some people who just have to sing everything.
I'm surprised that you don't kind of go for it, Steve, and just sort of make fun of the process.
Well,
I used to. The one that my mom loves to sing is, and I think maybe it's a pop song on top of it as well, or became popular, but that Morning Has Broken one.
Morning has broken.
Something.
With the other thing.
First morning.
That was Seals and Croft, wasn't it?
No.
Cat Stevens.
But it's a hymn, right? No,
really?
No. No, it's a Cat Stevens song.
It was a hit song.
Really?
It's
Saturday night and I ain't got no money. I got no money because I just got it.
Nick's mom would just
and
change
so
it.
And so I wish I had some. Everyone.
What my
I'm in a full way. Who let the dogs out? Who? Just like a canine would bark.
Hang on, let me go to, let me go to Jim.
I totally thought that was a church song.
No, some people here are retarded. They don't know what a hymn is.
Hang on, Jim, you're on the air, Jim, good morning.
Durka, Durka, Durka.
Durka, Durka, Durka.
What's going on, Jim?
I was laughing when you guys were playing the Yodeling Cowboys. Steve, do you remember Mars Attacks?
Oh, yeah, that's what they used to make the aliens' heads explode.
You mean the aliens that sound like Pierre laughing?
Back, 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 back.
But it was.
wasn't Slim Whitman. That
it was Slim Whitman. They,
yeah,
in fact,
Slim Whitman music.
Yeah, in fact, the grandmother was playing it at the old age home, yeah. And the alien's head started to explode, so they had huge speakers all around, and that's what eventually killed them, the Slim Whitman music.
Hang on, let me go to Matt's got another Slim Whitman piece of information here. Matt, how you doing, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing?
Good. What's going on, buddy?
You know, Slim Whitman is on Rob Zombie's House of a Thousand Corpses
what?
CD.
Really? Is he on the soundtrack? Well, he's got some strange stuff on there. He's got, like, Buck Owens and a few other things. But I didn't know Slim Whitman was on there.
Yeah, he does a song. It's, like, I Remember You.
Okay.
And, dude, I'm telling you, it sounds like his nuts are exploding. It's horrible.
That is, it's like if you caught your nuts in your zipper, you would sing like Slim Whitman.
Yep, exactly. So
he sounds as if his nuts are caught in his zipper. And you can use his music to kill aliens.
Wait a minute. We have another piece of music.
Imagine the people who think that's romantic to put that on. This is it.
Body.
One cup for all. Oh, that's what it is. No. Crap.
What? I couldn't hear what they were saying.
Californication.
Somehow the Chili Peppers got in there. Hang on. Let me go to another quick call. I'm going to go to Heather. Hi, Heather. Good morning.
Hi, I've got about 7 years singing experience as a pro cantor in the Philly Archdiocese.
Okay, so you know your stuff.
Yeah, definitely. We spent one summer where we were only allowed to sing Let There Be Peace on Earth as our final hymn.
Yeah.
Because the priest is kind of anti-war, and really bizarre experience. Like, needless to say, I never want to hear that song again.
Well, I know that there's a crap load of hymns, but they always sing the same ones in church.
Yeah.
Because we're stuck. We can only teach people so many songs.
Yeah.
Or people complain that you never do their favorite song. It's like a lose-lose situation.
And then sometimes they'll pull out, like, Battle Hymn the Republic. You know?
Yeah.
Right. It'll be like, okay. And then everyone goes, well, I know this one. Hey, look, Happy Birthday is one of the hymns.
Yeah. All the ends of the earth, all you creatures
we'll hear this
of
one more
the
time.
Sea, lift up your eyes to the wonders
I think that's
Lord.
Good.
For the Lord.
Am I stupid?
No, I am.
The master of the sea.
No, Casey sings.
I think it sounds good to my ear. Yeah,
Casey sings in key. He's doing a little bit of falsetto on that. But no, he can, I've heard
him
good. He does. He does.
I hire
well.
Him.
I will tell you what. You should go to my church when they don't
pancake breakfast.
Well, no. My old music teacher, Mrs. Lowe, or Miss Lowe, and then this other girl, Beth, they are so good. Like, you know, normally it's just, people like my dad doing the cantering thing, you know. But these guys are really, really good. I think you would get a kick out of it.
Yeah, I tend to avoid the singing, especially when somebody comes out with a guitar, folk masses.
Yeah.
You want to blow my brains out.
The folk masses.
Jesus.
I like the guitar.
Folk masses suck.
Is that what they call them?
God, I don't think even God likes a folk mass. You can actually hear the wind as God leaves the church with a guitar. I'm out. See ya. Well, we have a $60,000 organ system. Are you going to play that on your acoustic there?
Right. Well, anyway, Casey, thank you for the fine vocal entertainment.
Oh, thank you.
I don't know if we can handle that every time we do that live read, but we'll attempt to.
That fuse is burning.
We got to take a quick break. We'll be back in a second. Stay down.
The Preston and Steve Show Podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.